Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit tired. Man, it's a good kind of tired. It's a refreshing tired. It's the kind of tired you are when you come in from, you know, mowing the grass or working in the garden, and you're just all drenched in sweat, and you get that big old glass of sweet tea, ice cold, little hang of lemon in it, and you just sit back and say, you know, that's what the whole world's been doing for the past 24 hours or so. The whole world's just been going, Pretty soon, you know, I've been thinking about it. I've never done this without a pig licking in the White House. I don't know what to do with the freedom. Oh, he ain't gone yet. 75 more days, but in 75 days or so, I can retire parts of the language that I use here. I can retire pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout. I can retire that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But that's not to say there isn't plenty of hard work to do. Yeah, as you know, one of my favorite punchlines is, coffee breaks over, back on your heads. And in fact, that is the truth. The coffee breaks over, everybody. Back on your heads. The sports fans in the audience, and I know that there are many who are not, so just bear with me for a moment. But the sports fans in the audience know that after you've had a big victory, the most important thing is to immediately get back to the work, back to work, and not let it go to your head. Well, that's where we are. We made gains. We made progress. We got some of what we wanted, but not all. Not all. And we still have much, much, much work to do. I was over at one website, and I saw a big banner ad that said, keep health care on the national radar. Absolutely. Keep mountaintop removal on the national radar. Keep this world we live in on the presidential radar. Don't let up, you know, if we sit back and say, well, we got, no, we have to keep after the issues, because we're not personality driven, or at least I'm not, and I don't think you are. We are not worshipers of personality. We are geared toward getting things done and making this country a vastly better place. And no, please know that what I told you before is true. I mean, it's not one of those crystal ball moments or anything. It's just a matter of, you know, pig lickings are what pig lickings are. And I've got a couple of examples of even shamefully not a pig licking. But it started. The vile stuff has started. And we have to be ready to fight back. What's our motto for the next 4 years? Sit down and shut up. That's what we say to the Republicans and the neocons and the nutbags and the Reichwingers. You are irrelevant now. There's hard work to be done, and we don't have time to fool with you. Because we've got a chance. That's what we said last night. This represents a chance, not a certainty. But a chance. But there is a ton of fun stuff to go into this evening, all over the board. But, you know, it's the day after the election, but it's not just the day after the election. It's the middle of the week, but it's not just Wednesday. It's Wednesday, but it's not just hump day and downhill to Friday. No, brothers and sisters! It's Wednesday, and it's prayer meeting! Choir master!
Gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around! And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free.
Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. Come on down the blood-red carpet to the altar and put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays come a-coursing through you as you stand here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Brother Bob. I am your Archbishop of Rational Living. Glory! Welcome to prayer meeting, everybody. And you know what? If you're that kind, if you're the praying sort, say a prayer of thanksgiving. That now we have that chance we need. And understand, however, that the right-wing religion industry is more emboldened than ever because they got to institutionalize their hate in three separate states yesterday. I've already gotten the gloating email from the Reverend Donald Wildman of the American Family Association, and can you please spare a small gift if you think our work is worthy? Oh, yeah. See, they haven't learned sit down and shut up yet. That's your job. That's our job. Hey, Reverend Wildman, you and your millions, sit down and shut up! You only think you're relevant. You are an irrelevant practitioner of hatred. And we're going to prove it. But first, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Welcome to the program, indeed.
Hey, Reverbo, what's up?
This is so cool on so many levels. Isn't it?
It is.
It's a world event. It really is a world event.
You can almost feel the planet giggling, can't you?
Well, yeah, and praise the possum goddess. I'll be the first to say it. Okay, thank you to everybody who helped with this. Those of you who are invisible and supernatural, and those of you who are actually, what is the word, corporeal and real. Thank you all.
Amen and ramen.
That's about right. I mean, this is so great because you finally have, I don't know, maybe I've always said I'm a little, you know, every day and month and year that goes by for me, maybe it's too late for me. I don't know. Maybe I got to learn the words of that song, you know, too late, it's too late for me song. But my kids don't.
Nope.
And there's going to be the whole psychological fallout from this is going to be nothing but great. Everybody's going to start feeling a little more optimistic, I hope, and a little more, and we're going to be proud of our president, you know? And that alone is going to be great. You know, everybody's so damn angry and depressed. It was almost enough to just, that alone was just, it was really unpleasant to live.
Oh, I saw some parody satire piece early in the morning today, right as I was going to bed, that said, shocked and amazed Democrats, stunned they didn't screw this one up.
Well, there's probably some truth to that. Oh, man.
But, you know, in the midst of the celebration, we need to be cognizant. I've seen several reports this morning. There was all kinds of skullduggery out there. And the Republicans ain't quitting. And anybody who thinks that we get a break now, No, this is, and I'm not trying to take the thrill out of it for anybody, but dang, this is when the hard work starts. We'll party for one day and get back to it the next.
Well, I know that.
But you got rid of Liddy Dole.
We did.
I mean, I don't know how you kept clothes on. I'd have been running naked through the streets. I would have.
You know, there's a way that really works. It's kind of messy, but there's a way. I mean, on your way out of visiting her, you just kind of leave a loaded shotgun on the end table there by the door, and, you know, she just kind of wonders if it's loaded after you left. I mean, it couldn't work that better. This is such an awful, horrid, evil woman. I had no idea. I mean, her husband was sort of, I don't know, boring and...
Oh, no. He was, for years and years in the Senate, he was the Republican Party's hatchet man. He was their hitman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Bob Dole doesn't like this legislation. Bob Dole will filibuster it.
Bob Dole referring to himself in the third
person. Oh, yeah, he talked about himself in the third person. Bob Dole's not happy about that.
Well, and Bob Dole wanted to build us a trench to the 19th century.
A tunnel, yeah.
No, it wasn't. No one was down with that. I don't know why. But, no, you're right. You're right. In here, we can't forget what we have to do. And I am a little worried that Bush brought back this whole, you know, the uniter, of course, couldn't have polarized us worse. It's just like the 60s again with the, you know, the freaks and the establishment, the anti-establishment, all the stuff that you just were hoping for to just go away. He just brought that with a vengeance. And now it is going to concentrate these vampires to a tighter ball, right? They're going to, the distinction between us and them, that is going to get so much clearer now. And yeah, it's like a hive of hate. Yeah, it's worrisome. It's worrisome but on the other hand, they don't count. And these selfish bastards can get out of the way and sit down and shut up. I mean, so you've got these two things going on.
Well, and, you know, look at the minimization that's already going on, the attempt to trivialize what happened. You've got outgoing Senator John Warner of Virginia, who is he'll be replaced by Mark Warner, who is no relation, who is a Democrat. And John Warner said today, well, you know, Virginia and North Carolina went for Obama, but that's really not that surprising because they're different. They're not like the real South. This ongoing attempt to constantly defy the right wing's insistence on their being the ones who get to do all the defining, that they will determine what reality is. They still haven't given up on that, Revervo.
You're absolutely right. And as the more you, I mean, they really are incredible. You have to hand it to them. The more you take off of their plate, the more they just, with a straight face say, well, I didn't like that anyway. Or, yeah, your state wasn't really, you know, as full of rednecks as we thought. Or, you know, just got an answer for every, you know, after a while they have nothing left to eat, and they're going to say that they weren't hungry.
Yeah, I didn't want that anyway. And of course, you can always count on wing nuts to be wing nuts, because for instance, that attack blonde, Laura Ingraham, who is thrilled, okay? We got to understand that these people are fueled by hate and by cynicism. And all the right-wing talkers, as I mentioned last night, all the right-wing blatherheads, are absolutely thrilled to death because they're just their job just got easy. Because now all they have to do is slur and slime for the next 4 years. And the attack blonde Laura Ingraham was on one of the networks earlier today, or maybe last night. And, you know, she actually said that the Republicans got beat because they weren't insane enough.
Well, there you go. It's another, you know, how bizarre can you be? And there's just no, just when you think they've reached these levels of beyond Heinrich Himmler's wildest dreams, just beyond Darth Vader's craziest nightmares, they just come up with something else. You know, well, Limbaugh made a living. You know, he became famous when Clinton was president. He created his whole, you know, the Limbaugh character during the
He was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. That Rush Limbaugh would still be fairly low rent had it not been for what he did on the back of Bill Clinton. And, you know, last night I ran that wonderful Bill Hicks clip, the Republican elephant is dead, and that take your little Vietnamese pot-bellied pig Rush Limbaugh out and blah, blah. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, great. God, I didn't get a chance to listen to you all night because, as you know, we were volunteering up till the very last minute.
Oh, yeah.
As you can imagine, there was a bit of a party afterwards.
Well, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that made a difference.
Yeah, I got in a late email to you, and I came home in time to see his acceptance speech. You know, here's another thing. Everybody gives. It's just required to give a fairly sobering and gracious concession speech. And suddenly everybody's just cutting the old maverick all the slack, like, well, he really was just a good guy underneath, and, you know, he's
horse feathers.
It's a bunch of crap. We've all been here before. What is this? It's just the same old...
To sit there in a concession speech and lecture the president-elect? No, that was sickening.
Yeah, I don't... You know, it's just...
But there is some beauty in all that. You know, the backstory is beginning to come out, Reverbo. And Sarah Palin... you know, soon I will not ever have to say her name again.
Mm-hmm.
But she became loathed. John McCain barely spoke to her. And, in fact, she wanted to offer some words last night, too, don't you know, you betcha. And,
oh, you betcha.
And they said, no, not a word.
I'm sure McCain, I don't know what the final word on the whole Palin thing is. Maybe you know. Did he really have any intention of selecting her as his running mate?
He wanted Joe Lieberman so bad, but he was, Lindsey Graham was pushing hard for Lieberman.
Hmm.
He would have pushed hard for himself, but the minute he was named, he would have been probably outed. But in the end, the two of McCain's closest advisors prevailed and got him to select Palin against his better judgment. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, well, there's an oxymoron, too. But to any, I don't care if he's pissed or not. We would have had, don't you agree? We would have had President Hillary Clinton, I think. There's no way they could have won this.
Yeah, I don't think they. You're right, Reverbo. I don't think they could have. And what I mentioned last night to Guy James, I don't want to take any of the starch or any of the beauty out of this victory, but the Republicans didn't want it. I mean, they have to make the sad goatish little bleating noises today, but they didn't want it. You know, somebody's got to be there to fix things so they can come in and steal it all over again.
Yeah, you wouldn't be giving them too much credit this time, would you? I mean, at some point, you can destroy things almost too well. I mean, I was thinking about this exact topic, and I wonder if everyone realizes how close they really did almost come to sealing it forever, to just destroying us forever. They came within one election. They ran out of candidates. Essentially, they ran out of, we were so appalled that they ruined it so effectively that, you know, they, and they ran that. Look who they ran. They ran Gil Maverick, and no one's going to vote for him. And but we came within a whisker of total destruction of that. Four more years of this, that would have been the final nail in the coffin. I mean, we had to be saved. We were saved by a visitor from outer space.
Pretty nearly. I mean, I saw a conservative, so-called conservative freak commentary earlier today. I think maybe it was one of those news muck crowd. We need another great communicator. Honest to God, some of these freaks, if you'd let them, if you turned your back on them, they would go and put a spade in the dirt and start digging up Ronald Reagan. Because that's the only thing they can imagine that the Republican Party exists for is to have some tired old scam artist out there, again, looting and pillaging.
Yeah, but that's what we came. Obama said this from the dark ages. I mean, finishing their plan means finishing what Ronnie started.
Which means finishing us.
Oh, yeah. They almost did it. We needed an absolutely, you want to praise the Bosnian goddess, but we have a president. I kept saying this to myself last night, saying the name President Barack Obama.
Don't forget the Hussein part.
No, don't forget that. And I was thinking in my own absurd way that it's almost, I mean, here's a guy that just stepped off the set of I Spy, right? You can't find anybody cooler than this guy. He's cool beyond belief. It's almost like his real name was like Kenny Worthington, and he and his agent thought that Barack Hussein Obama might just sound cooler and more presidential. I mean, the whole thing is just so incredible you can't even believe it. And now we have a guy, we finally have a president who, when you wake up in the morning, you think, man, what is he going to do today? What's he going to do? You know, what's he going to be thinking about? What's he going to be wearing?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, we've got, oh Lord, I'm about to enter geezer land. We've got a guy going to the White House who is hip.
Well, that's it. And it's, you know, this is, the only way I used to keep track of any of this nonsense was when you went to the dentist, right? And while you were waiting, you'd peel through these People magazines that were sitting there. Otherwise, all this stuff might as well not even exist for me. And now, I can't wait to find out, well, what's old Barack going to be doing tomorrow? You know, who's he going to be talking to? Who's he going to talk to on the phone? What is he going to be thinking about? I just think it's great.
Yeah, you know how they sent Ronald Reagan jelly beans and George Bush tried to affect the touch of the common man by saying that he liked pork skins, pork rinds. I remember way, way, way back when I was in college, I had one of those cheap little basketball hoops that you hang over your garbage can.
I remember those.
And so, you know, you'd shoot the fadeaway draft of the term paper. I think we need to send Barack one of those so that he can, you know, because he's going to be pretty busy. He may not be able to get out for a little pickup every day like he'd like to. We need to send him one of those garbage can hoops. You know, dear Barack, every time you get a letter from some right-wing organization calling itself the Project for the New This or the Old That or the center-right coalition, you just, Barack, what you do is you just wad it up. You just wad it up, brother, and you just shoot that fadeaway jumper right at the garbage can and swoosh, nothing but net.
I love this imagery. Oh, yeah, just you could even put it maybe over the shredder or something. You could, instead of just reviewing all the, you know, the personnel evaluations of all these nuts that we need to purge and fire, instead of just, like, you know, delicately putting them in a pile for the shredder, yeah, just wad them up and start sinking those screens with them. I love it.
He shoots, he scores!
Almost the Justice Department is almost, you know, cleaned up.
Yeah, I've got a letter to write. I'm gonna be a real geek about stuff like this. I'm writing a letter recommending that they take a hard look at Mark Levine for a seat on the Supreme Court. I've listened to Mark Levine for 3 years now. And I know how smart he is. And, it's not going to be a joke. I'm going to do it. Because I want that. And one of the other things that I want, and I've got a list of I wants, and I think we should probably, Reverbo, all start putting together our I want lists and see if we can come to some sense of priority.
Mm-hmm.
But I want a 40 to 45-year-old appointee to the Supreme Court who will therefore be younger than John Roberts and younger than Sam Alito and, Lord knows, younger than Slappy Thomas and younger than Fat Tony Scalia. And I want that young jurist for the next 40 years to be a festering cactus needle under the reptilian hide of those right-wing ideologues.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Levine might be just the guy for that.
I like in for the long haul. Get a young one. You got that right. Because there's no getting rid of them. Once they're in, they're in.
Yeah. It's. I mean, Lord, we've learned that with Scalia and Thomas. They don't even.
Roberts is he's too scary young even for me. I was hoping he'd be older. Our friend Roberts, he was involved in the first George Bush election theft in 2000, wasn't he?
Yeah. So and you know what's more, Mark Levine, it was just pointed out to me. Mark Levine has already proven that Scalia is a right-wing idiot to Scalia's face.
Excellent.
So, you know, maybe that's what we need to do.
I'll give your, now that you brought up another host on your network, I will give your network some credit. Because I started listening to you, I recently did start listening to some Mark Levine, and I started listening to, you've got a little too much rotation, a little much freeform stuff going on over there at Head On, and we'll have to figure out how to fix that. I've been listening to nothing fixes it like a checkbook. Well, never mind.
There's that.
Yeah, but anyway, I've been listening to some other people on your network. To make a long story short, are excellent, and I have been. Mark Levine is a very smart man.
He is, and Guy is, and. I try to carry my little 3 hours and have a little fun at it. But the weekend crowd, the weekend crew, Billy Shears and John Fox and Rick Smith and Rick Goodner, it's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. And I got a note late last night from one of our listeners, Brandon, up in New York. And I just about cried when I read it. Because I've never seen a better summation for why people who do liberal talk. And not just the horn, but everybody doing it. And that's who Brandon directed it to. And I'll probably read it again a little later for anybody who missed it, because it's that perfect distillation that you see once in a while.
That's enough. Would you read it again later?
Yeah, I will. I absolutely will.
Before I go, I have to say, well, I apologize. I'm sorry about New Hanover County, North Carrituckee. We tried our best. We just couldn't bring it in down the stretch. Now, having said that, the state of North Carolina looks like, to its credit, we're not mailing out those results in the night before the election. That looks like that could come through for Obama. But I don't know what to tell you. There's just too many. You know those people that eat the raw squirrel brains and go mad?
Yes.
I'm sure. I knew you would know them.
Yeah, I know them. They truly get squirrely.
Well, we have just too many of them down here, and there's not. I don't know.
We got a bunch of them up here, you know. And I got an email from our buddy Dennis down in Kentucky, and he said, you know, here in my neck of the woods, Kentucky went, 73% for McHoover. And he says, my job will never be done. My work will never be finished. And I just wrote back and said, no, it won't, and neither will mine. And you know what, Reverbo, neither will yours.
Neither will mine.
Somebody has to work inside. You know, somebody's got to have the inside game. And when you're dealing with right-wingers and neocons, that's people like us.
It sort of came down to this notion that it doesn't really matter how much you like somebody until you get off your ass and go down there and pull the lever. It ain't going to happen. And they will, because they have they can get their army together. They didn't get it together this time, but they usually can. And it's just that's the only way it's going to happen. But we came really close, and it was like 49-51. And usually, at this.
Oh, usually that. I mean,
it's usually 65-35.
But those are, again, I'm not one of those who goes in for moral victories if they're still going in the L column. But those are forms of victory.
They are.
And it shows the potential for bringing sanity back to the rest of the country. And, we can do it in Tennessee. We can do it although Tennessee went ass backwards last night. They turned their both houses of their state legislature over to the Republican Party, and they've got a decent Democratic governor. Some people exercise the franchise reverbo just by saying, hey, look, I've got a big old pointy stick, and I'm going to just jam it right in my neck. And Tennessee did that. Minnesota returned Michelle Un-American Bachman, and they're still having to duke it out over Norm Coleman and Al Franken. Al Franken is nothing that I would recognize as a big old liberal, but he's light years ahead of what Norm Coleman is. And the idea that race was even close, what the hell's wrong with those? Those are Minnesotans, for God's sakes.
Yeah, they're Minnesotans. Well, look at what the Alaskans, didn't they return that little crooked little dwarf, that 84-year-old toad? Didn't they return him to the Senate?
They did indeed. And you want to hear something that'll just absolutely spoil your supper? Sorry.
Let's have it. Let's hear it.
Yeah, get it out of the way. Let's get it into the universe and let the universe cleanse itself. I saw this little editorial commentary from Mark Carlin over at BuzzFlash, and it was horrifying. And it is just a simple question. Will the re-election of convicted felon Ted Stevens lead to Senator Sarah Palin?
I'm going to be sick.
Yeah. Because one of the beautiful things out of last night was that, and, a guy James said it, I've said it, is that we consign her, we consign her to the ash heap of history. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that moron, that unalloyed freak, setting foot in the Senate?
We don't have to ever say her name again, unless
they make us.
They orchestrate a way to have a special election, and she makes it in there somehow. Well, God. Well, at least Saturday Night Live will be fun to watch, for the next 8 years.
Well, that's true, although, I hope it doesn't come to that, and I know it was Tina Fey's fond and sincere wish never to have to put that rig back on again and say, "Yo, don't you know, you betcha."
Yeah, it would be like Sean Connery and James Bond. It would just, she never wants to do it again. Ever.
That's exactly
it. Some people are just born.
It's like Leonard Nimoy not wanting to put the ears back on.
Exactly. It reminds me of that great movie. Well, I don't know if it holds up for 10 times, but Galaxy Quest.
I knew you were going there, and I love that movie so much.
It really does have. It's a great idea for a movie. You could just see these guys, oh, God, not another sci-fi convention, else, please. Kill me now.
Exactly. And one of the things I just noticed the other night, because I'm geeky this way, the guy who plays the fan geek kid in Galaxy Quest goes on to have a role as the doctor in Idiocracy.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, the guy who says, bro, we got your report right here, and basically your shit's up, and you're tarded.
Yeah.
But that's okay. My ex-wife's tarted, and she's an airline pilot now.
Oh, man. Well, let's hope his career is just taking off like a comet. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I will let you go. It's a wonderful day. I can't wait to hear the rest of your show. And I will be in touch. Never forget, it doesn't get more personal than this. We came through.
We made it personal, and we got to keep it personal now.
You got it.
All right, Reverbo, take care.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hi, Archdeacon of the Church of the Possum Goddess. That's Reverbo down in North Carolina, who did his part, who went out and worked to make this happen. The email that I got that was so touching to me, I read it late in the program last night. So on the odd chance that you didn't get to hear it, I want to share this with you. It is from our friend and listener, Brandon, who is in New York. And he directed this to everybody who works on this end of the spectrum. People like Mike Malloy and Randy Rhodes. Me, it says, Dear Progressive Friends, I'm so happy I cannot sleep. Thank you. Thank God for all of you. I love you all. You helped get Barack Obama elected as the first African-American president. You kept the progressive fires burning against a sea of right-wing conservative hate speech. You constantly restored my faith that we can defeat the neoconservative agenda. You spoke truth to power. You covered the stories that the mainstream for-profit media wouldn't cover. You kept going, even when others tried to silence you. You debunked the lies of the right-wing hate-mongers that pervade our airwaves. You kept doing your shows in the face of financial ruin. I am forever grateful for your presence on the radio, TV, and the Internet. Whatever fruits that may be born from this historic new chapter in our human history, I hope you reap the lion's share of it, for you deserve it. Give yourselves a pat on the back, a big hug, a deep kiss, a big drink, a nice dinner, whatever gratifies you. You are the reason Americans decided to take back our nation from the edge of utter and complete ruin. So I say thank you to all of you, Randy Rhodes, Rachel Maddow, Sam Cedar, Mike Malloy, Kathy Bay, Bob Kincaid, Agnes Kincaid, Tom Hartman, Stephanie Miller, Guy James, Peter Godbold, Mr. and Mrs. Drobny, Ben Birch, Johnny Wendell, Peter Werby, John Elliott, John Fox, Mark Maron, Bill Press, Billy Shears, Keith Olbermann, Mark Levine, Dan Rather, Bill Moyers, Dennis Kucinich, Barney Frank, Al Gore, Nova M Radio, the Head On Radio Network, Air America Radio, the White Rose Society, the RawStory.com, BartCop.com, iTunes Radio, GoLeftTV.com. I know I've left names and entities out, Brandon says. Please forgive me. The people and organizations I've mentioned have helped me to keep my faith in a progressive message. They may not all be perfect. I know they don't all agree, but together we have dared to reach for a better future. And if we're going to go far in reaching for our dreams, we have to go together. I've reread that several times today because it is such a humbling document. To have had a hand in any of this. I sent a personal note to Bart Kopp earlier today because, you know, before there were blogs, Bart was blogging. Before there was even much of an Internet, Bart Kopp was there, starting out because he got sick and damn tired of hearing Flush Flemball every day. And his website started out as something on one of the boards way, way back when, called Rush Limbaugh Lying Nazi Whore. And he's kept at it for lo these many years. And I just wanted to thank him. Because this is, there are truths in there. And it means so very much. And my thanks to Brandon. And my thanks, of course, to all of you as well. Because you're the only reason any of this exists. There's no point in me just sitting around here talking to myself, or any of us just talking to ourselves. It's the input and it's the give and take. And that's part of the work that we have coming our way in the next 4 years, determining where we need to go and what we need to do. Because, again, I remind you, the right wing is not going to give up. They are not going to go away. And, in fact, I expect them to just get nuttier. Hey, welcome to the program.
How's it hanging, say?
Yeah, it's hanging. What's up, Brother Albert?
Oh. Oh, boy, how are we today, Bob? It's really happened, didn't it? This really happened.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. Brought to you by none. We don't have to be in panic mode. We don't have to sit there and worry about our sponsorships anymore like that, I think. I mean, man, last night was historic.
Yes.
Beyond measure. I mean, I just can't get over it. I woke up in such a good mood, and I don't know about you. You sound better. Howdy, what was that? Bob is light. Bob is dancing around.
Bob's just feeling a little, you know.
We're all Muslim now.
Yeah. Oh, there is no God, and Woody Allen is his prophet.
Oh, my goodness. It's just, you know, and I had my buttons. I still wear my buttons. I think my lawn sign's going to stay out for a while. Boy, did I get some dirty looks. But not dirty, just like they looked at it like, oh, it's almost like they look at me, a couple of nurses and stuff, you could tell were quite, you know, the other side, and they were like, oh, it's okay kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like one of those, like, oh, it's okay kind of thing. It was a strange looks I was getting, but not like, oh, you disgusting liberal. It seemed like they were deflated on that whole jaundiced view of the world. So, yeah, we got some work to do, buddy. Are they serious about Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, they're quite serious. He's going to be the chief of staff, and I don't agree with him from a policy standpoint. But I have a feeling he'll have the mettle to be a chief of staff that Obama needs, because he's been in charge of so-called party discipline for Nancy Pelosi. He's been an enforcer, and the chief of staff in the White House is above all an enforcer.
Okay. Well, if you feel comfortable with
it. Yeah, I'm not entirely comfortable, but I at least understand the appointment. I mean, you know, that's not one of those holes that you'd plug with Dennis Kucinich.
No, but I'd love to see a role for him in there, but
yeah, bless his heart, he was reelected. I don't know if I would ever want him out of the House, but I tell you what.
Yeah.
Unless he could be like a member of the Senate now. Oh, that would be the sweetest thing. But Secretary of Labor?
Have you heard anything? Yeah, Secretary of Labor would be nice. How about Drug Czar?
Hey, there were a couple of pretty cool referenda on ballots yesterday that were nice. Speaking of which, a medical marijuana proposal was approved by Michigan voters.
Excellent.
And in Massachusetts, the voters there okayed at least easing the marijuana laws.
Excellent. Well, it's. You know me, buddy. That's $150 billion with a B dollar cash crop in this country. It's the number one cash crop in this country. And I hope Barack Hussein Obama, peace be upon him, I hope he has enough sense to say, you know what, when he talked about cutting through some of this and looking through everything and seeing what works and what doesn't work, you know, not for nothing, but if you're going to look at the last 50 years of government, there has nothing has been as much of an abysmal failure as this war on drugs. This war on drugs one of the reasons if you want to ask why does Central America despise us? Why are these guys giving us grief? Look at the war on drugs. Because we sit there and go down there with the, you know, industrial war grade strength, you know, Roundup and spray it all over the place, you know, on all the fields that aren't, you know, CIA sanctioned, wink, wink kind of fields that, you know, that go to their pocket money, you know, those kinds of guys, the guys that try to bring it in without their wink, wink, you know, knowledge, and the guys that sit there and, they, you know, the guys they parade up and, oh, see, we're winning, it's worth 150, you know. However, actually, what is that? There's that war, that movie Grass that came out right when Bush got into office. And I think at that time, up to 2002, and Bill Clinton was bad about this, too, because he just raised spending and made him look tough on crime. And that's a bunch of nonsense. But anyway, they're talking like, I mean, we've almost spent a couple trillion dollars on this war on drugs since the
30s. Yeah, this war on a noun.
Exactly. This war on people and turning people into criminals. It didn't work on alcohol. It's not going to work on meth. I'm sorry. I don't do meth. I don't have a problem. But it's not going to work. Because all you're going to do is you're going to turn, well, maybe meth. That seems like a, but that's what happens with these people. You know, they sit there and they turn these things into crimes. You know, anything that a million people, Bob, a million plus now, have been arrested since the end of the Clinton administration per year. 1 million people arrested for this.
1% of America's population is in prison. 1%?
I thought we were up to 2. I know we're number one in the world per capita.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like 1 in 100. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, we need to seriously really sit there and think about this justice system. Sure, you know, rapists and child diddlers and, I don't know, man, rehabilitate, rape murderers, you know, throw away the key, go ahead, you know, but, you know, a guy with a problem and an addiction or just because he enjoys it or, you know, not hurting nobody and, you know, come on. You know, this is something that we could tax. We could sit there. We don't have to send all those people to Amsterdam every November. You know, we could have people here in this country. We could sit there and have like just a homegrown industry where, you know, it could be taxed and regulated and licensed. And, you
and
know,
people wouldn't have to get hateful of synthetic opiate Joneses. Because, yeah, I get all of that.
Not only that, we could sit there and tax it and help pay for health care.
Yeah, hey, hey, Flush, catch a fire, your world will change.
Oh, I mean, and leave them alone. I mean, you know, it's not like nobody's pushing down anybody's throats, but let's be honest here. You know, I don't want to hear any of this arguments that I used to hear, you know, like Tipper Gore and all these other, you know, mealy-mouthed kind of people, where they say, oh, we got to protect the children, the children, the children, the children, the poor children, got to protect the children. You know, it's easier for a kid to get pot than it is for an adult. It's easier for a kid to get these drugs than it is. I can buy alcohol. You can buy alcohol. We can get that easy. It's harder for a kid to get a pack of cigarettes and get a bag of pot or whatever
yeah.
else they want. I mean,
and,
seriously,
you know,
because it's illegal.
Right, and because there's an isn't that the right wing dream? Think about it, Albert. Oh my God, the door you just opened for me. There's the ultimate. The black market substance industry in this country is an utterly unregulated free market. And look what it does.
Now, look at, well, yeah, what do? They drink cough syrup. Cough syrup.
Yeah.
Get high.
I remember I had a buddy once who was a pharmacist, and he was a pharmacist in a small town, and he used to talk about the codeine carpool. They would literally drive from pharmacy to pharmacy to pharmacy trying to hooey up their codeine cough syrup scripts. And then they just sit there and feed the Jones for a day or so, and then the codeine carpool would be right back in the building again.
See, that's just ridiculous. I mean, they don't even have to. I mean, you don't even need to do. You don't even need a prescription for. All you need is. I don't want to tell anybody, but you know, with the drug that the other guys that they're doing, they call it Robitussin, and it's DXM, and it's a psychedelic at high dose, and you know, it will. But it's, you know, it's also got all these other horrible things in it. And, you know, you're not supposed to drink a whole bottle of it. But it's one of these things that people do, and then they, you know, then they wonder why they get liver failure.
Yeah, I can't stand the stuff, you know. It's
Yeah. Ooh.
And I get sleepy walking past the Benadryl. Never mind opening the box.
Exactly.
My scalp feels like my hairs on my head are shifting individual follicles when I just look at a decongestant.
Oh, and now you need a license for that stuff.
Oh yeah, but meanwhile, you know, we've got a lot of listeners down in Australia, and those people have down there, you know, your back's kind of messed up, you got some ugly pain, you go to the chemist, you pick up a bottle of aspirin with codeine in it, just over the counter. And, you know, I haven't seen a lot of stories out of Australia with, you know, the incredibly screwed up people sitting in parks the cooking aspirin in a spoon.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, not only do they do that kind of, I mean, I think that's another part of having Barack Obama in this historic election is I think it's like one of them gradual shifts, like at the end of the last Mimsy, which I hope you'll see one day if you haven't already. It's definitely, put it on your list and watch it with the family. That is an unbelievable movie. The Last Mimsy.
Yeah, no, we've got it. We have it.
And I think, all right, you remember at the end how it's just all of a sudden the change was instantaneous.
Just boom.
It was like, oh, wait, what are we doing here? Oh, you want some coffee? Okay, let's go. So sublimely, it was just right there. It was like, here we are. It's changing the mindset. You know, why do, what, well, wait, hang on, in Europe, well, you get wine at dinner a little bit. They cut it with water, and you know, so you feel like an adult. And I think a lot of that stuff, I mean, if you really look at the alcohol industry, you know, that Cindy McCain and, you know, Lumpy over there, you know, they profit off underage drinking. Like, unbelievable. That's an issue that's never brought up, that 50% of the alcohol industry's, you know, profits per year is from underage binge drinking.
Is it? Well, okay, now there's binging and then there's underaging. I mean, people of legal age binge.
True. And, you know, I bartended for many years, and I lived in a college town with three universities in it. And let me tell you, yeah, 21-year-old drink, that's true. But nothing like what the underagers do. I mean, you got to think about it, like, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, you know, and anybody who knew somebody that was old that can get him liquor was like, you know, king of the hill, man. And like, when we got liquor, I never bought liquor like I did. Like, I never bought liquor legally like I did when it was illegal. I mean, we're talking, you know.
Hell no, we drove all the way I grew up in a dry county, and we'd drive all 11 miles to the Tennessee state line where the legal age was tall enough to put the money on the counter. And yeah. There, you know, there we would purchase, oh, God, a case of Black Label, because it was the cheapest there was, and go back to somebody's house and play quarter bounce with it. Because, you know, yeah. We were juvenile, and you know, nobody was, because you don't pick up a can of Black Label and say, my, oh, my, I certainly do appreciate the hops bill in this beer.
Look at the gravity.
Yeah, look at that gorgeous, gorgeous cut. You can, they certainly did use some lovely crystal malt in this brew. No.
Exactly.
No, you drink Black Label as cold as you can get it in short gulps. And then, yeah. And then you spend the rest of the time recovering.
Exactly. I mean, that's another. Hey, you want to see in terms of what I just said in terms of 50% of their market. You go into the next time you go into the beer aisle. Look at how many they call them those fruit pops kind of thing.
Oh, Mike's Hard Lemonade and crispy, tangy cranberry. Yeah, beer for people who don't like beer.
Yeah, you know. Malt
and back in the day, it was malt duck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, but back in the day when I was underage and did all of that, yeah, malt duck. It came in grape, it came in apple, and I think it came in cherry. Yeah, because the grown-ups are all about that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's well. You know, that's what I'm going to get right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get me some of that. I can't wait to get some of that.
Oh yeah, you can. Lord knows it's all. You know, it's Kool-Aid.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, and that stuff sells like mad dogs. And yeah, sure, I see all the people drinking it, but you know who's drinking that stuff. It's stuff that, you know.
Yeah, there's that stuff for the kiddies, and then there's the screw top mad dog and the wild Irish rose for the boys under the bridge.
Mm-hmm. And gold paint. But, you know, when we sit here and look at these kinds of depraved situations that these stupid laws make from us, you know, I mean, I just hate to see something, you know, as yeah, somewhat benign. I mean, there aren't any, you know, it's not a wonder drug in terms of cannabis. It's not like this, you know, miracle thing. And I think it kind of.
But that's also not the legal standard for effectiveness.
Well, exactly. It's also not. I mean, you just sit there and look at the harm that it brings in terms of.
It's not benign, and it's not benign, and neither is caffeine. Neither is booze.
And I'm just, yeah, exactly. And I hate to see us arresting a million people a year, wasting money. I just hate to see us wasting all these resources and money. Hell, go get these other criminals. I mean, like, hell, we got a lot to do. We got a lot of criminals to prosecute after the Bush administration gets.
Yeah, and that's on the list. You know, I said we got to start pulling the list together. That's on the list. We got to.
We got to pull their passport.
Yeah, punish the crime. Punish the criminals. You know, it was Ben last night talking about how George, on his way out, will pardon everybody, and then the day before he will resign, and then Cheney will become president and pardon him. And that, you know, that kind of a nightmare scenario is just, whoa.
Yeah.
No, especially in the not gooning on Ben, but just oh, in the middle of that happy little celebration. But you know what?
Cold water.
Don't put any of that kind of crap past these people. They are 75 days in office, and that in 75 days is plenty of time to blow up the world.
We just we need to remain. What is the price of freedom? Eternal vigilance.
Eternal vigilance. Yeah, funny how that works. A republic, if you can keep it.
Exactly. And, you know, I think last night showed the will of the people to say, you know what, seriously, enough. No, we're not going there. I think in a way the horse shook off some flies. And in a sense, I see some cracks in the party. And maybe we're about to turn the page and get that boot in our face and give it an ankle lock. You know, I mean, we're not quite there yet, but at least now we know. We're waking up from consciousness. We're sitting there saying, I mean, look at that. I mean, that was a freaking, that was a landslide. McCain didn't even come, he wasn't even on the field. It was ridiculous. I mean, you know what's funny? I look at that map, I see that map, and I hope that these right-wing, mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging troglodytes sit there and look at that map and say, wow, we must not be that significant in this country.
Yeah.
See, they got this big idea that they're like, you know, the guys in Idaho with their three electoral votes or, you know, like, we're America and we're not. And I hope they got a little bit of a slap of reality that, you know, hang on a minute, you know, we're all America, you know, and I don't want to be too corny and stuff like that, but we're all America, not just you, not just Texas. Yeah, you're a big state. Yeah, sure, you got some electoral votes, but give me a break. You guys don't run the show. You know, you don't sit there and have a monopoly on freedom or on justice and liberty. And you know what? We got to take that word liberal back. We got to take, I mean, I know we have here on the Horn, and because the Horn is the consciousness muse for all, in my view, you're like the beat to the heart. You're the beat that the brain sends to the heart. That's you. That's that pulse. That's the Horn. And that pulse has to take back some things, and not re-education, but we got to shine up some things that got scuffed in some of our heirlooms. And we got to, you know, take care of some of this stuff that we've had for, you know, like the Magna Carta, you know, and these little...
The Geneva Conventions, it would be, I don't know, do we need to re-ratify them?
Yes, I think that, man, wouldn't that be gorgeous? That would just
and,
be...
And, you know, habeas, great. You know, habeas corpus, you know, it's about the habeas corpus. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see some justice to these, I mean, I know we got to deal with Bush. We definitely have to deal with Bush, and I know it's a little too early, but I don't want to, there's so many things that have to stay on the table. You know what I mean? Like, we just can't sweep the table and say...
No, we need a bigger table.
There we go. We need a bigger table, we need more people, and we need more chairs. Because, and that's another thing. You know, Bob, I think we might have seen such a shift in consciousness, and so many people were so excited that as long as Barack Obama does a halfway decent job, okay? I mean, I'm not trying to say he has to be the superhero that we all know in our hearts he can be. Right, he just has to do a modestly decent job, and he will win again. He just has that. He's just motivated people. He's motivated people that, you know, the youth. Now, like in your age, you know, like a lot of youth said, screw it, voting doesn't change anything, and blah, 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 blah. Now, in my youth is kind of where now my youth has kids. And a lot of us voted. I mean, I think.
No, my kids that got into, we got into kind of a, discussion/argument, looked at me and said, you know, why can't we vote? And I said, well, you know, the grown-ups don't think you're quite mature enough to vote yet. And they came back with something that was utterly unassailable, Albert. And that is, but Daddy, that's our future you're screwing up.
Mm.
And we're the ones who aren't mature enough?
Yeah, and that's kind of been my, I mean, I've been saying that. I'd have to agree with your kids. I mean,
well, I agree with my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord God, if some ignorant freak who thinks that God raped a little Jewish girl and then offed his son, for me, If somebody like that can go and cast a vote based on all of that, Dad, you know what? I trust my 14-year-old to go cast an intelligent ballot. A hell of a lot more than I do those people.
That's a damn good point. That's a damn good point. you can't argue with that at all. I can't got nothing to say to that. That's just, no, that's exactly right. And, you know, I didn't catch, I it was just so much, you know, it was coming so fast, the election, and, you know, you talked about a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I can't believe how much of that Palin prank phone call I missed. I can't believe how much of it I missed. I missed the part what you said in terms of the French and let's go kill baby seals. I missed the very last thing he said about the documentary video about her named Palin.
Yes, I saw that in Uslar, that fabulous documentary biography of you, Nailin Palin.
By
Uslar. And at the end, what was it? If one vote can change the world for Obama, one Viagra can change the world for McCain.
Just gorgeous.
And by the way, there's the countdown. How long until John McCain gets his Viagra ad?
I thought Saturday Night Live was his Doritos commercial, personally.
I have yet to see that, but what was the setup that he was on QVC?
Yeah, he couldn't. Barack Obama bought, they set it up on how he bought the infomercial deal. It's like, we can only afford QVC. And then I loved how,
I love the premise alone.
She says running a campaign is expensive, and she starts touching her clothes and, like, just, like, looking like, ooh. It was, I mean, I know we're describing a video on the radio, but.
Dancing about architecture.
As soon as I saw that, I mean, we know McCain is delusional, but he's nowhere near as delusional as, like, Palin would be. I mean.
Well, there's lots of delusion, but and that's what I just I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or anything, but that's what I just want people to be aware that it's sort of out there in the universe, that the zeitgeist is out there. There's lots of delusional people. You know, I woke up today to an email from somebody who used to be deemed liberal. Subject: media, thuggery and hate win again. Thuggery and hate win again. In 2000 and 2004, it was Republicans who used thuggery and hate to win the presidency. In 2008, it was Democrats. Congratulations, Democrats, for a job well done and for setting back respect for women more than 50 years. Bros before hoes. You wanted it. You got it. Now we'll have to live with it.
That's hideous.
Signed? Anybody you want to guess?
That crazy lady was saying he was...
Carolyn Kay.
Yeah, okay. I knew it. You could just hear her saying it.
It's all right, Michael. You can laugh out loud. It's all right if the microphone hears you giggling.
Yeah, that's bad. What is that? What kind of people are these? They want maniacs.
Me.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, just like, you know, and I'll tell you, it didn't look good. It was one of those things. Did you see what Fox News was talking about? Militant black men with sticks hanging out in front of polling booths.
Oh, the Black Panthers.
Yeah, they're the Black Panthers that really hate white men, and they don't care.
You know? Let's see, John Fox just sent this over to me. Albert, headline, Impeach Obama groups pop up on Facebook. For what? Let's see. Another Facebook group of the same name, Impeach Obama, has 160 members and urges others to join because we might as well get a head start on the impeachment of Obama. Quote, there are a lot of Americans out there that do not fully understand the concept of socialism or communism, which is why they've elected Obama as president.
They are disgusting son of a bitches. I cannot even believe that. That's outrageous. You know, I would have loved, and don't get me wrong, maybe it's just because I'm seeing my own behavior reflected back at me in the beginning of 8 years of Bush's tyranny, okay? But I'll tell you one thing. If there's ever been a president that deserved to be impeached, it was that bastard. With the things that Bush has done, make Nixon look like Joe Lieberman or something. I mean... I can't even breathe. Well, how can you? What are they even talking about? What, these people are just maniacs, Bob. They're maniacs. What is that? Somebody help me. Help me. Help me out. Throw me a rope. What is going on? I understand they're going to hate him, but at least let him get inaugurated.
Let him. I mean, it's not like he's bankrupted the nation or started an illegal war or suspended habeas corpus. And none of that yet.
Exactly. He hasn't bombed anyone yet. I mean, at least give him 10,000. You know, like everybody gets some chips, you know. Give him 10,000 to collateral damage. Hey, once he goes over there, then we'll talk impeachment.
Oh, Albert.
Horrible? Was that horrible?
That was kind of horrible.
I'm sorry.
That was just a little bit horrible. Yeah. That was borderline horrible.
Well, I'm sorry. My new middle name's Hussein. It's getting to my head.
Yeah, I know. Bible. Yeah.
I can't even comprehend. I mean, Bush can get away with, how many people in Iraq have died? We don't even know. Will we ever know? How many people have been displaced? I mean, how much money has been lost? How many people have killed themselves in this country because they couldn't meet their family's, you know, needs and this and that, and they couldn't take it? And, you know, like, you know, there's a funny thing about, you know, being unemployed in this country is, you know, you make it a certain amount of days and you're not counted anymore. Like, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But, you're not unemployed. You are, what is it, a dispirited worker, a disillusioned worker? There's some sort of special, the Orwellian newspeak that the Bush administration coined for people who are still unemployed but not worth counting.
Well, the Bush administration they made McDonald's jobs manufacturing so it wouldn't look so bad.
I know. I mean, put it on the list. All that crap gets to go away.
You think? I hope so. I'll tell you what. I sure hope so. I sure hope Barack Obama doesn't do any kind of Bush accounting practices. I'll tell you what. That's the beautiful thing. I don't know how many. If we said it enough, or if we said it, I can't say. But the beautiful thing regarding this landslide is now Barack Obama kind of can't be a mealy-mouthed. He has to be a president of everybody, but he has a real mandate. This is a mandate. Not, you know, Jeff Gannon. That's not a mandate, kind of. And not 49.8%. That's not a mandate. This last night was a mandate. That map is ridiculous. And if you actually look at the other one with the counties, it's even more ridiculous. I mean, it was a blue wave, without a doubt. It was a tsunami, a blue tsunami. I mean, I almost think that a lot of those people in those crazy red states just voted for McCain just because they felt they didn't want to look horrible.
You know, he's got to be excited, but by the same token, nobody with any sort of a rational mind would be anything but at least a little bit daunted at the task. Just got a new headline in, Albert. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. U.S. airstrike reported to hit Afghan wedding.
Those bastards, they're never going to stop.
An airstrike by United States-led forces killed 40 civilians and wounded 28 others at a wedding party in Kandahar province in southern Afghanistan. The casualties included women and children.
Well, that's good for another 8 months at least, right? Another 8 months of outrage, or maybe 8,000 years of outrage. Jesus.
Look, it's Kandahar. It still carries the name of Alexander Iskander. Kandahar.
There you go.
Long memories. Just saying.
Oh. Yeah, no, thank you, Bob. That was excellent. Yeah, awesome. I don't know what the hell these people. I mean, that's just common sense. Well, you can blame that on Barack.
Yeah, I read this stuff, and every now and then I go and I watch The Man Who Would Be King. You know, Sean Connery, Michael Caine.
Yeah, and he goes off, and yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that? Where did he go? I've seen that movie so long.
Afghanistan.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say one of those.
Waziristan, actually, I believe.
Yeah, Yeah, it was one of those crazy countries. He became a Turkman.
Well, he was deemed a god on earth.
Oh, C-3PO in action. No, you know.
I know.
I'll tell you what, and I said this, and I know you and I had disagreements about this, but we need to get the hell out of Afghanistan.
Sure.
We need to send engineers there. We need to send, like...
teachers.
You know,
doctors.
You know, we need to send, and I know this is gonna send a shiver in someone's spine, but we need to send some of the rational and decent Muslim American leaders to that country, okay? Because when Christians go over there, they get all, you just want to convert us. You know what I mean? You know how we did that as a crusade, remember?
Yeah.
We need to utilize our people better. We do. We need to utilize our people. I mean, like, instead of firing gay guys because they can speak, you know, they speak Arab, but they're gay, so we get rid of them.
Right. Well, yeah.
Instead of, you know, we need to, like, utilize our resources a little better, and, you know.
Oh, hey, maybe it's, how we got that In God We Trust thing on the coinage? And on the money.
50s, right?
Yeah, right. Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe we negotiate a deal with Google and buy their motto away from them. And instead of In God We Trust, let's put on all the money, Don't Be Evil.
Don't be evil. I like that. Well, maybe we can add it. In God We Trust, Don't Be Evil. I don't know. We need to be this light that we see that we're talking. And I'll tell you what, Bob, NPR is starting to sound like the horn. Believe it or not.
Would have banked that. No, wait. Then I guess maybe it's time that we formally change the name of the network to the Barn Broadcast Radio Network.
Bob, you've done such a you all have done such a wonderful thing. It's not. I mean, we'll never be able to thank you fully in this lifetime. I'll tell you, it's. You know, I know people tell you Brock did his work and whatever like that, but you know, you really kept up spirits. And I know that the guys that might have a bigger name, they listen to you because I listen to them and I hear them echo a lot of your rationales and a lot of your intelligence. And you know, maybe you're just connected or whatever.
Well, you know, if they just, you know, it's like submarine stuff. If they just send a single ping once in a while, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I'll try. I'll tell you what. We need to totally just change our focus. And this new paradigm, we're not going to have much room for bombing.
No, I got no more time for bombing weddings. I got no money for bombing weddings either, for that matter.
Oh, and schools, and you know, killing children and making.
Nah, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not taking cards in that game. Nope. Sorry.
No, we're done with.
No, I want to focus on the really cool stories out there, like this one. Headline: Solar power game changer. Near perfect absorption of sunlight from all angles. Researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute have discovered and demonstrated a new method for overcoming two major hurdles facing solar energy by developing a new anti-reflective coating that boosts the amount of sunlight captured by solar panels and allows those panels to absorb the entire solar spectrum from nearly any angle. The research team has moved academia and industry closer to realizing high-efficiency, cost-effective solar power. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. That's black silicone, baby.
Yeah.
Black silicone. Now, that was a tiny little blurb. That's a really strange. That's a beautiful story. That was a little tiny blurb. I remember I told, oh, Bob, right? And now he's elected, and now here it is.
Oh, dig it. It's a nano-engineered reflective coating.
Oh, it's a coating? Well, tie that up with the black silicone and forget it.
Yeah. It's a silicon surface treated with a new nano-engineered reflective coating. It's
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, we can.
Awesome. Yes, we can. And I'll tell you what, and we will.
And that's the other thing, you know, from last night. I'm hanging on to it. There's some language I'm saying goodbye to, Albert, but there's some language that I'm saying hello to, too. And that is that yes, we can is we have nothing to fear but fear itself for 2008.
That's right. Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, we can do this.
We can do it. Yeah, we can do this.
That T-shirt that Bart Cop sells, just chill the out. I got this.
We do. We completely have this. We completely will steer our own future. The sleeper has awakened. This new paradigm, it'll happen in almost, look how fast it's happening. All it has to be is somebody has to do it. Man, people were driving around, they were figuring out how to crack hydrogen out of water back in the 70s, last time this gas, right? And then they dropped gas price of gas, and nobody even paid attention to it anymore. But now I think we're getting to that point where we have to pay attention to these things, and these kinds of things are going to be everywhere. Who needs nuclear power if you could have one solar panel, 1 6x5, or whatever?
Hey, I got to drop one on you, Albert. I got to drop one on you here because you're just going to go, what? This stuff is just beginning to roll in, and I just got this from News Ninja Gene, you know, the guy who reads the whole internet every day. Then I just, my little eyeballs just kind of went, bink. Headline from the Huffington Post. Robert F. Kennedy, Environmental Protection Agency head.
Yeah.
He is apparently on the short list for head of the EPA. Oh, my God. Don Blankenship's head would just explode.
That's so awesome.
What's his face, Rainey, the head of the West Virginia Coal Association, his head would just pop.
He knows about coal and mountaintop.
Yeah, you're darn right.
Yeah, he does. And I'll tell you what. And well, look at the good news I told you, right? Dairyland Power, they're withdrawing their petition to get to do that coal ash dump. That's freaking awesome. I mean, maybe they're doing it because they realize that, well, changes in the air, people don't want it. I mean, and they're eventually, this coal, we're going to save it for something. Hey, you know, coal don't have like that, you know, in the future, we're going to need it for something crazy, like we needed whales for communicating with the alien world that's coming to crash into us.
Row your boat. Yeah.
I don't know what we'd need of coal or whatever, but it's probably better in the ground, leaving it where it's at, you know, and not igniting.
Oh, you want to know what coal's good for? There's another one. I'm trying to figure out what this. I'm thrilled with this, Albert, because I'm trying to figure out what this radio show is now. Because coming on and not having to even think about a Dick Cheney or a George Bush or a Condi Rice or a Wolfowitz or any of those filthy, filthy, filthy little bloodthirsty, filthy monsters frees me up to really talk about where we can go. And one of the things I saw today was, you know what coal's purpose is? You know, coal's purpose is to be under the ground.
Yeah.
And to insulate the crust of the earth from the heat underneath it.
That would be better to
because you know the globe can be warmed internally as well as externally, and when you take away all the coal in the mountains, then that heat gets to the surface faster and the globe warms faster. Ooh,
you know what? I could probably see that. I could actually see that quite well, because when you sit there and think about it, I mean, if you've ever seen a two scale model, and this is something everybody should see. If you could draw, you need a really big piece of paper to draw an exact two scale model of what the crust of the earth compared to what the rest of the earth is. Like the stuff in the dictionary, in the encyclopedias is not sufficient to explain to you how thin this crust that we're riding on really is. It's barely the width of a human hair.
Yeah, comparatively speaking. Yeah. It's a crust. It's a crust. People, you like your toast done on one side or both? Don't care. You know, when you put that side, there it is. Yeah.
It's a thin crust. And I'll tell you what, geothermal heating, drilling some holes in the ground. And I mean, what did they say? We used, I forget how much power is in the earth in terms of the heat energy that's in it. You got to watch Zeitgeist 2. Zeitgeist 2 Amendum. That's in there. I'm going to hammer that, because that has just a basic framework to a new paradigm, something that moves away from a market economy and more towards a resource economy, something that kind of, instead of, you know, sitting here and raping the earth, is sitting there saying, okay, how can we sit here and use it for the betterment of everyone? You know, how can we actually sit, I mean, what the hell are we, Bob? We're freaking human beings spinning around this crazy ball of fire, you know, and we're just going to sit here and snuff ourselves out? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's the answer that human beings want to be able to do.
No,
I mean, that was evident last night. I wonder what the world is doing right now. Whatever happened, did they get the bastard out of the White House? Did they get those pitchforks and those torches? And did they
but there was about 1,000 kids out there in the uniform Secret Service that I've never seen anything like this. Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out of get out of Barack Hussein Obama's house. Get out!
That's just beautiful. You know, he was in my dream last night, Barack.
Oh yeah.
And I know I told you that, you know, when Bush was in my dreams, it used to be me chasing him. And then when I'd get him and I'd hold him and he would just be this empty hollow being and he would make me feel ill inside. Like if you've ever answered the phone in your dream and it's like, I don't know, at least that's the way it is for me. But if you ever answer the phone in your dream, it's not a pleasant experience. And that was, answering the phone was kind of like talking to Bush in my dreams. And I would yell at him and stuff like that, and he would run away from me. But
I'm glad I'm not the only one that has those.
I highly doubt it. That's probably what made that guy so old, is all of us, you know, chasing his ass. Anyway, you know, what are you going to do? You gotta reach out there somehow, you know. Anyway, Barack Obama was in my dream last night, and him and I were in the back of a cart, and there was some other people there, and I gave him a big, huge hug, and I was like, you know what, congratulations, don't do us the wrong. And I knocked his shoulder pad off or something, and then he left, and he said thank you, and he left. And that was that, and I woke up feeling good, and I was like, hey, I told my wife, I'm like, did he really win? Like, this dude is playing with me. You know, in a sense, like, I'm almost at that point now, you know. These last 8 years have been that traumatic that I'm kind of like, I feel like that little kid in Aliens where I got my little doll head and I'm hiding in the garbage dump because I'm afraid of those things in the night because it's just been such a horror show.
Hey, I just got hit by an idea. You know, I love bouncing these things off of you, Albert. You know, those horses' rear ends have their little impeach Obama things going on Facebook and MySpace and whatnot. Let's start a new Facebook page. And we can start it with everybody listening to the horn. And, you know, not necessarily saying that this would be the right thing or the good thing, but just to needle these little right-wing freaks and make them crazy. Let's start a Facebook page called Repeal the 22nd Amendment.
I like it.
Barack Hussein Obama, maximum president for life.
I like it.
Not to say that I want it. Not to say that I... No, just because I'm all Abe Lincoln, you know, with charity toward none and malice toward all and malice toward none and all of that stuff.
4 more terms.
Four more terms. Oh, God. Oh, that'd drive them batshit. Oh, that'd be precious.
They're already there, buddy. They're already there.
Well, I know, but it'd make the wings flap a little harder, and maybe they'd fly into a few more walls. Yeah, I mean, you remember that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's dealing with the vampire? Abracadabra, I'm a bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bugs says, Abracadabra, I'm a bat. And then he whacks the stuffing out of the bat because he's a ball bat. And the bats just kind of spindly and pathetically, you know, flying around. That.
Great.
That's where I want them. I want them there. You know, just every now and then. Ignore them most of the time until we walk over into the corner and just thump.
See, and I think, Bob, and I think here's the thing, though, bud. You know, and I remember saying this to you a while ago, and I see this exhibited. There's one thing. Even right now, it's really hard for me to feel any anger. I mean, I can, when I start thinking about it and I see those images, I can be angry again. But I can't say I've forgiven them, but I can almost forgive it because it's like that. What we saw last night was like love. And man, love is so much more powerful.
Oh, I know. I'm channeling. I'm trying to get the nasty out of me, okay?
We're exercising demons. This is prayer night.
Yeah, it's prayer meeting. We can do this. So, you know, no, I'm just
I agree. Gonna, I know. I just wanted to say how much people were just in love with each other. I mean, that's what we're hearing now. I mean, we're hearing we're seeing Bill Hicks's prophecy come true. You know, we're seeing, you know, the it's just a ride line, you know, that the probably one of the more poignant things.
You forgot the important words after you said Bill Hicks. Peace be upon him.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. And Allah Akbar and everything else.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. Shut up and smoke that. Anyway.
Get that third eyeball just squeegeed clean.
That's just so Jesus ran the unicorn. Anyway. Yeah, be held.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, peace be upon him. Oh, yes, yes. Take your little Vietnamese pot-bellied pig limbo and...
Yes, indeed, that's true. And we have that, and we have to exercise, we have to get rid of that filth within us, that these bastards have put in us with their actions and their deeds and their slimy, disgusting words and their putting purple band-aids on their face and everything else these guys do. We have to get rid of that. We got to cleanse it.
Let me, reality moment. You know, welcome to Costco. I love you.
I know.
They're empowered out there. That's what I said at the beginning of the program. I just got a gloating email from the Reverend Donald Wildmon. They're gloating, dude.
That's fine. We cannot give them hatred. We cannot give them the weapons that they use against us. We will not defeat it. We will not defeat and solve this problem. The problem that we are in is a species. With the same thinking that got us there. And I think last night, what we saw in the election, what we saw by his speech, that historic speech, that's amazing.
And people are learning, you know, they cheered when McCain's name was mentioned, where the McCainiacs were booing and hissing and doing all the things that Sarah taught them to do.
That's the hairline difference. That's the difference between love and hate. That's love and fear. And, you know, when we're sitting here talking about love, you know, just because you love your kids don't mean you won't be pissed at them because they come home with the car all broken up.
Yeah, right. Gentle correction.
Your ass's keys are taken. And we might have to do
that. And that, you know, hey, we just took the key. Yeah, wasn't there an email or something like that? We just took the keys.
And they're going to have to repaint the walls.
Yep.
And I want this carpet ripped out of here, and I want these floors sanded. Because there's so much beer and crust and blood and guts and puke and every vile kinds of thing that you can imagine. And I'll tell you what, I want some science funding. I want some other things. Your allowance is being cut. Because we have some things to take care of now in this country.
We have work to do. And it will be work that we do joyously. Hey, Albert, I got to run on, brother. But, man, this is a beauty.
What a beautiful day. All right.
All right.
Take care. I'll see you later, brother.
Squeegee clean.
Always.
Later. Our buddy Albert in Wisconsin. Let's see what's happening here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Philip. What's up, man?
Well, it passed for sure after all the votes were counted, Prop 8.
And now the legal challenges begin.
Well, that's happened already. The ACLU has filed a suit already. A number of people are filing suits, so it's going to go back to the Supreme Court eventually of California for a decision, but yep.
Dirty bastards. I had a great idea while Mark was waxing quite eloquent about this issue in his hour. And an idea struck me. And I don't know how you would accomplish it, but if you could get people to do it, it would be a beautiful thing. What we need are some of the corporations that, you know, really got behind beating Proposition Hate. They need to put up straights-only bathrooms and straights-only water fountains and straights-only public accommodations in their businesses. So, you know, anything that would be for the gay community is going to be really nice, but the straight bathroom is just going to be a hole in the wall with a bucket. Separate and say, hey, you know, separate but equal. You're the guys that voted for this.
Yeah, separate but equal. Good person in a bucket. We're going to be in a nice bathroom.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Bob, a lot of the problem was that people really did not know what they were voting on. This was presented.
Well, that was deliberate.
It's not only ignorance, but it's, you know, the ignorant people came out of the freaky churches. The people that just voted on it, looking at the ballot or looking at the little booklet that they sent us, all that was presented on there was saying constitutional amendment that will define marriage between a man and a woman. I don't have it verbatim, but that's pretty much what it said. And it didn't really explain that it was a constitutional amendment to limit or take away the rights of a certain segment of the population. So a lot of people voted this like a knee-jerk kind of vote, like most people do on propositions, just saying, okay, well, yeah, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that's what I'm voting on. And I'm not really realizing that, you know, it's also meaning I'm going to discriminate or take rights away from people. And, of course, I'll be protecting children, too. That's the sickest thing with this Yes on 8 people here and the campaign for that is they drug children into their mess, into their hatred, and into their bigotry. You know, the fear of school children being taught about gay marriage. You know, this is going to affect your family and your children. You know, children need a mother and father. A man and a woman is a father. Children have nothing to do with it. Our children, Gabriel and I, we've got 4 children. Well, actually 5. We've got Missy, who's the mommy of the 4 boy kitties that she had back in April. So we have 4 boys, you know, and they all purr, and Nikki enjoys milk. That's our kids. That's our only involvement with children.
Yeah.
But the freaky people that were for this proposition, well, they made everybody think, yeah, it's going to affect your family. We're going to teach them funky things in school, too. But see, that's what us gay folk do. We run around to schools. We teach children all kinds of funky things like tolerance, love, acceptance, not beating the hell out of somebody just because you think they're different than you. All those awful things to teach human beings to get along together a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb bastards. And now we're hearing about the farm bill. I told you about the farm proposition, too.
Right, right.
They treat, now we've got the Republicans or the Republican-leaning newscast here on NBC locally worrying about, well, egg prices and farm prices go up now that voters pass this law. I don't give a damn if I got to pay another quarter for eggs or something.
Yeah, you know, right. That's like the tomato pickers initiative in Florida, I guess it was, for, you know, it was a labor initiative. Well, you know, and then there was the American Restaurant Association, you know, and the American Taco Bell Association, the American McDonald's. Well, the price of your hamburger is going to go up. Look, I'll pay another quarter for the stinking hamburger if I know that there's a reasonable chance that the people picking the damn tomatoes have a shot at a reasonable human existence, okay?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Yeah, I just can't see. There's a lot of people, you know, you get your eggs in the carton. We don't understand what it's like on some of these chicken farms. I've been on a chicken farm. 30 chickens, you know, jammed into these little cages laying eggs. You know, who can lay an egg, let alone do anything else, you know, without room to move? It's just humane. You wouldn't want to be in a cage like that. Of course, I know a few Republicans I like to put in a cage like that, but that's a different story for another day. But I don't know. For me, I don't give a damn if it's going to cost another quarter, and it seems like they're making good money off of us anyhow, from the dairy farmers and the egg farmers here anyhow. Carton of eggs is like almost $3 for an 18-count carton. Gallon of milk's nearly $5 a gallon now. So they're not hurting.
No,
and at all. So,
no,
for the animals.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's see, what other fun ones do we have? Well, we banned drinking and booze on the beach.
Well, you know, where bottles are concerned, I think that's a pretty good idea, and people tend not to pick up their trash, but is that a bad thing?
Well, we've had, it's not only the trash, but there's been problems on some of the beaches where people just get drunk and rowdy young people and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know. If you want a beer, go around the corner to one of the venues that have beer-served restaurants, bars, at all of our beaches here, at Pacific Beach, Imperial Beach, Ocean Beach, all the beaches here in Southern California have great communities with great restaurants and bars where you can go get a beer. You don't have to sit there and get drunk on the beach. So I'm glad that one passed.
Yeah, I think so. And
my favorite one that passed was, and by the way, the Prop 8 passed by, let's see, Prop 8 was 5,387,939 dumb bastards to 4,883,000 and 460 smart people. So 52%, 52.5 to 47.5. The other one that passed that I'm glad about is Prop 9, which was victims' rights.
And what, I mean, what does it do?
And what it does is it gets the victim a little bit more involved in the process, so you know, like, when the people are going to court, what's happening with it, having a say in it a little bit. Because, like, when I got attacked, when I got bashed in 2000, and these kids beat the hell out of me, and nobody let me know, the district attorney in the particular city didn't let me know even when these kids went to court. I didn't even know they went to court. So I could even appear in court and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I don't think, you know, what they did deserved just probation, you know. The one kid hit me with a beer bottle in the head, that was attempted murder. I didn't even get to speak up about that and say, hey, why don't you charge him with that, you know, instead of simple assault. So this one that's passed now will give victims a little bit more of a say in the process with the district attorney, right from the sentencing, the processing, even the charging of these people. So I'm glad that one passed as well.
Well, there's certainly no harm that comes of something like that. And, yes, so, you know, some good, some bad. And yeah, I sincerely hope, Philip, that what comes of the Proposition Hate business is that it can be beaten back in the courts and then let the church raise another $20 million, beat it back in the courts, let them raise it, and let them spend themselves into bankruptcy on this. Let them do it.
Yeah, why not? Let them spend all their money and let them make fools of themselves, because a change is coming. You know, whether Barack Obama will be that force of change, you know, remains to be seen. You know, I just heard he's going to have some Republicans in his cabinet. You know, well, that's Barack Obama. We know he's a centrist. He's not a progressive Democrat like Kucinich, but it's good news anyhow. He's going to do what he can, but the change that's going to come is going to be coming from the people, and it's going to come from the people that we saw in Chicago last night during his speech. And the change is people speaking out and saying, look, we've had enough of this. We don't want a theocracy. I think last night a lot of people spoke out at the polls, you know, saying, hey, we don't want this. We don't want a Sarah Palin. We don't want a theocracy. We don't want a candidate that stands there with a preacher protecting her from witches. You know what I mean?
Make way, Lord. Make way.
We can all sit down now. Yeah, well, we don't want that, and a good number of people don't. Surprisingly, here in San Diego County, which always ends up having a majority vote Republican for president, the last two presidential elections, they voted for Bush here in San Diego County. They voted, 52 to 47% for Barack Obama. That speaks volumes.
Yeah, it does, and it means that progress is being made, and it means, you know, you see that through the so-called, you know, and look, maybe now we can get the for-profit only media to pay attention and stop painting America in primary colors. There's no red and there's no blue. You know, Obama said that 4 years ago at the Democratic National Convention. Maybe he does begin to bridge that gap. I hope so. But there are people, there's 20% of America, and we have to acknowledge it, Philip. 20% of the American voting public doesn't want the gap bridged. Every time he sets a pillar for the bridge, there will be 20% of America sitting there tearing at it. My God, you know, this is prayer meeting night. I went over to my favorite right-wing news site, which is, of course, run by the American Family Association.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly. And what do I see? What do I see from these terrified, monstrous, bigoted, prejudiced, hate-filled freaks? Advice to Christians. Oh, here it is. Advice to Christians, defend life, prepare for persecution.
Jeez. You know, nobody's persecuting them. What people are saying is, you have the right in America to go worship any cloud being you want that you think is going to come rapture you out of the sky. Go for it. Sit in a church. Go get protected from witches. Do whatever the hell you want to do in your church, but keep your belief system out of your neighbors.
Yeah, let's see. The leader of the Southern Baptist Church, the leader of the Southern Baptist Church, Philip, is a guy named Dick Land. Really? And he says, I think there are several contestants for the new leader of the pro-family movement. Sarah Palin's certainly going to be a prominent one. Mike Huckabee, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, who just won re-election, praise Jesus, and Bobby Jindal from Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm so sick of these goddamn people, you know, with their pro-family crap, too. Here comes a rant, everybody, so get ready. The pro-family. I want to hear these pro-family bastards, these fake Christians, start talking about the problems in family. You want to talk pro-family, let's talk about making the economy a little bit better so mom and dad doesn't have to work so much so they can spend more time with their kids. How about pro-family and we look at spousal abuse and child abuse, mental abuse?
How about hunger? How about just hunger?
How about hunger, yeah. How about all the hungry people? How about the kids going to bed hungry tonight while you bastards?
Yeah, what was the phrase the Bush? What was the phrase the Bushies came up for hunger to replace the word hungry? Nutritionally insecure.
And nutritionally insecure.
Yeah, isn't that just beautiful?
Well, they're just nutritious. Well, they're lazy. They're not getting off their ass and working. Yeah, I'm just sick of these pro-family people. But again, you know, the majority spoke out. Now, and we have an opportunity, you know, whether it has to do with this Prop 8 crap with the so-called gay community that we have in California or elsewhere around the country. You know, you want to have a gay community, start coming out of the closet. Stop hiding in the closet. You know, I know it's not easy for kids and teenagers to come out, but for God's sake, you know, it really pisses me off when I meet somebody or talk to somebody that's a grown adult. That's still, well, I'm not out to anybody. Well, come out and tell them. This is just who I am. Mind your own goddamn business, period. The more the gay community or gay people start doing that, the more power I think we'll have because it doesn't make it seem like it's a bad thing. You know, when you got to hide and be secretive, it seems like that's why, you know, you're hiding, you're secretive because there is actually something bad with it. Come out and say who you are, you know. And just stand up to these people. We give these people too much power. It's like giving a bully power by not standing up to a bully.
Silence is acceptance. Exactly. Exactly.
See, but we've got the power to do it in this country. And we did it through the power of the vote by electing Obama last night and saying no to Sarah Palin. And, you know, Bob, I think that last night it was more of a vote saying no to Sarah Palin rather than saying no and McCain. I think McCain would have done better and wouldn't have lost by as much if he had picked a different sort of running mate.
Even with Lieberman or a weirdo freak like Romney, God knows Huckabee. He would have been miles ahead of where he finished if he'd had Mike Huckabee. Not that I'm a fan. The guy's a radical fundamentalist freak.
Lieberman, oh.
And that's what he wanted him. That's what he wanted all the way to the end. Let me pick Joe. Let me pick my friends. I want Joe Lieberman. Well, we're sorry. You've got to pick you've got to pick Godzilla from Wasilla.
And you can see that. You can see that last night in his concession speech. You really saw.
What went on behind the scenes when she said she wanted to offer a few words to her supporters, there was only one word for it. No. And then that beautiful, beautiful thing that Barack Obama did by, you know, congratulating John McCain and then shooting right past to start praising Joe Biden without even so much as a mention of her name, that was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, because she was the downfall pretty much to the McCain campaign. People were turned off by that, even Republicans, again, here in San Diego County.
But that weird 20%, the only reason any of them went to the polls was because of her. Paul Krugman noted it.
Because she promised to keep the queers from marrying. on a constitutional level in the federal government, and to save those frozen embryos and stop abortion. That's the only reason why. Now, these are the dumb bastard people in America. And I'm sorry, I talked to you yesterday about the willfully ignorant in America, and I'm just sick and tired of them. And I don't know, I can agree with your last caller about, you know, trying not to be hateful towards these people, but I've had a bellyful for the last 8 years. I want a law about propaganda passed so I don't have to hear this crap like Limbaugh on the radio anymore. You know, I just can't, I don't know, maybe in time I'll be able to talk nicely to dumbasses, but right now I don't have the capacity to do that.
I understand. Well, Philip, just, you know, keep at it, and keep us posted on what happens with 8 and the challenges to it, please.
Yeah, a lot of stuff will move fast, and it'll get in the court, and it'll sit a little bit, because you know how the court system is.
Sure, yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But, even Mayor Jerry Sanders here, who's a Republican in San Diego, opposed Proposition 8 because he had a lesbian daughter. He has a lesbian daughter.
Yeah, that was a profound moment for him when he decided to support marriage equality.
Well, it was the right thing to do.
You're darn right.
Bottom line, Bob, is this. You know, we have to decide as sensible people in America, do we want to live in a theocracy? You know, do we really want democracy here? And if we do, then this is what we have to tell people, you know. The people that were for this proposition saying that, well, the courts decided and went against the will of the voters, you know, well, then you're not supporting democracy because democracy was in action when the California Supreme Court in May decided that the last proposition was unconstitutional. So they'll find out again, and I'll keep you posted on what's happening.
All right, and our best to you, Philip.
All right.
Take care, man.
All right, adios.
Adios. Peace. Our good friend Philip Rockwell, calling from San Diego, and he identifies a lot of valid points as we go forward. The need to further unify and build the method by which we stop all of this filthy right-wing hate in its tracks when it happens. That's work we have to do. That's still coming. We're nowhere near done on that. Just to share something with you and let you know, this is coming. It's prayer meeting night, so let's go to a fundamentalist. This is from a column called The Christian Life. The title is Style Over Substance. A woman named Jane Jimenez writes this, and you don't want to see the picture.
There is an irony in recommitting myself to a career of writing in the wake of 4 debates in this 2008 presidential election. I am personally motivated to write because I believe words matter. Alas, they don't matter to everyone.
She wrote this on October the 30th, last Thursday.
Words don't matter. Glib is what works. Style is cultivated. A smooth voice that glides over the top of words served up with a charming smile. The package delivered to voters is beautiful. Inside the Obama package unwrapped after the election, what can we expect? Partial birth abortion and infanticide, ensuring that babies die who accidentally survived abortion, will be finally and permanently be entrenched as lawful choice in America. School choice will be limited to choosing to stay in the public school system, denying parents a real choice to use their own tax dollars for top-quality charter and private schools. Our American president will be able to further cultivate the already glowing approval of Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro, Hamas leaders, and Louis Farrakhan, all of whom praise Obama's politics. You know, what a filthy liar she is, and calls herself a follower of Yeshua. The Supreme Court will be used to make law in the United States. 9 men and women overriding the will of the American people expressed in elections and the legislative process. We will work hard to make laws. The Supreme Court will work harder, striking down our laws and replacing them with theirs. Marriage will no longer mean one man and one woman. Oh, really, honey? You mean like what it meant back in that weird little book that you own but don't read? When marriage meant one man, 5, 6, 15 women, all scads of goats and cattle and kangaroos and camels and platypuses and zebras and stuff. You mean that? Okay, got it. Oh, it goes on and on. Healthcare will be nationalized, paid for, and controlled by the federal government, just as countries like Canada and England admit failure. Did you hear that, Dave, up there in Canada? Canada has admitted failure for their healthcare system. You got that? Did you know that? And England's admitted that their national health service is a failure, too. I'll be doggone. Admit failure with their own nationalized health care. They want what we have. Really? No. Really. They want what? So you got that. But moreover, before the... No. Never mind that. Let's take some happy here. You know that I am of the opinion that since the passing of Hunter S. Thompson, the best opinion writer out there is a guy by the name of Mark Morford, who is at sfgate.com. Yeah, by the way, they pulled his print version. He's only on the Internet now. Only on the Internet, just like the horn is only on the Internet. But this came out this morning. This is no time for gloating. This is no time to get carried away by some sort of rapturous, rose-colored R-O-T-F-L-M-A-O rolling on the floor laughing my ass off. This is no time for that celebration full of streamers and confetti and blissful weeping in the streets, all wrapped in a big creamy ribbon of stunned disbelief, the overwhelming sense that, oh, sweet God in heaven, our weary and battered nation has finally agreed after all these years and seemingly all at once to grow the hell up. Is that not the feeling, he asks? That we as a country just did the impossible, just chose to get a little bit serious with ourselves, to actually attempt to right our myriad ills and rid the national body of our Republican toxins, and oh yes, by the way, make a huge shocking jolt of unprecedented history while we're at it? You're damn right it is. The best news of all, despite all the vicious rumors to the contrary, it turns out that we are not too collectively stupid to know a rare and historic opportunity when we see one, no matter what his middle name, thank God. So then, a warning, a caution, a hard-bitten piece of buzzkill and advice right here, right now, before it's too late and you get all ecstatic and naked and drunk on the sheer wowness of it all. Put down the kazoo. Hold off on the champagne. Do not get too cozy. Do not let President-elect Obama's stunning victory go to your progressive, thoughtful, oh my God, I can't believe it's true, liberal head. This is not a time for cocktails and screaming and dancing in the streets. That comes about six paragraphs down. Shh. After all, there's much work to be done. There is a staggering pile of damage, so deep and so wide it would take 100 Obamas and $3 trillion and a forklift the size of Shiva to even make a dent. That is no joke. Did you notice? Buried beneath the avalanche of Obama stories, this bitter hunk of gristle. Right this minute, the Bush administration is trying like the devil's own biotoxin to sneak through a whole slew of last-minute rollbacks and deregulations, a final parting gift to Bush's corporate cronies, and a parting sucker punch to the country. It's like the world's worst chef spitting on your food one last time before sending it out cold and limp and full of as much MSG and rat feces as he can jam in there because, well, why the hell not? And don't forget something else. The sickly, reclusive billionaires and scabrous Blackwater moms who spent their personal millions to try and force their intolerance on California by way of Prop 8, the kind of dysfunctional, ultra-wealthy fanatics who not only pray to a dour and heart-wrenching God every single day that Christian militants take over the country so we could quite literally stone all the gays to death, but who have the millions to fund their nightmares, they're not exactly going away anytime soon. So please,
Defy your temptations. Do not, under any circumstances, join with the entire planet right now and enjoy President-elect Obama's dazzling victory, because the world is still in shambles and the nation is super-duper trouble and still must have to think or resolve the serious financial crisis, because blood and banana cream pie and, racism and raging turmoil in the death all around, war raging, puppies, pain and suffering in the sunshine, shoelace, drugs and death and anarchy and foreign policy, sex and tickling Paris Hilton what the hell was I just saying? Did I really just write all that? What the hell is wrong with me? I'm so sorry. I didn't know what just happened. Shall we start over? Here, let me splash this water on my face, and then this cold sake, and then this refreshing sense of, oh, my God, would you look at the country right now, and can you hear all the horns honking and the children grinning and the massive collective sigh? There now. Ready? Hell yes, this is a time for screaming, for dancing, crying, celebrating with a rare feeling of renewal. It is a time for feeling it fully. A great thing has been done. A great shift has just transpired. Best news of all, there's no going back. Forget what I said before. Gloating is allowed. A great joyous I told you so, straight in the scowling faces of the racists and the warmongers and those so horribly terrified of the new and the different and the possible. Please feel free to let those rivers of gratitude course through you like molten joy coupled to the train of possibility pulled by the giant hand of hell yes. Above all, it is a time to exhale, to relax a little, to get the hell on with it. I know I speak for roughly 5,000 fellow media lackeys when I say, sweet Lord, I am just so glad this damnable beast of an election's finally over. It's like a combination of the day after Christmas and post-coital orgasm and giving birth. You can only sit in the wobbly afterglow, warm and buzzing and dizzy, insanely grateful you didn't get a stocking full of Satan and Alaskan moose meat and dirt, or a baby with three tiny heads and a nail gun where his arm should be. This, I think, is perhaps the most important sentiment of all. Not merely relief, not liberation, not even unadulterated joy. It's gratitude, deep and satisfying and good, a sense of profound thanks that, well, we made it through. The hopefulness prevailed that Obama not only survived and flourished, but appears more determined and assured than ever. What's more, our massive, ungainly democratic system, that hugely flawed beast of burden gutted by 8 solid years of the worst kind of abuse and misprison, it still seems to work. Well, mostly. How astonishing is that? And now, here we are. What a time it has been. What a time it shall be. There's no turning back. And for that, we can only say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, sweet God, thank you. Pass me that damn champagne. That's just perfect. That's everything that I have been contemplating. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Well, goodness.
Yeah, I know.
That went off pretty smoothly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you know, there was a minimum of thievery and skullduggery. I mean, they were stealing votes, and we know it, stealing votes for all they were worth in Georgia. People like Tim Robbins, for God's sakes, the actor, the director, the writer, they tried to tell him he couldn't vote in downtown Manhattan.
Well, yeah, no, I vaguely heard about that. Well, this is so wrong, but I was laughing at Al Franken, because he's the one that never acknowledges any sort of voter or anything, and look at the situation he's in.
I know. But there's even stinking dirty pool in that one too, Sandra.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, but he was the one that on his show would never have anyone who talked about voter integrity.
No.
Really, condescending towards that whole way of thinking, and I just think it's a bit ironic that he's now embroiled in his own sort of voter issue.
hanging on his own petard, as it were.
Yeah, I don't need any help. I'm fine. Well, have fun with it.
Yeah, I trust the machines. But, and as it turns out, one of the things that did happen, you know, there's a fairly large Somali community.
That's true.
And it turns out that Norm Coleman had a person who speaks the language on his staff. Now,
right, so he was able to round them people up, right?
Well, kind of. Mm-hmm. What it turned out was that the Somali community is large enough that they had 8 translators for ballot help at the polls.
Now, that's got to be a lot of folks.
Not only that, but, I mean, ballot help to help them vote for him, that's great.
Well, and that's what the Somali-speaking ballot translator guy who worked for Norm Coleman was doing. And here is where you vote for Norm Coleman. Go ahead. You know, this isn't suspected. It happened. It's real, you know. And, oh, God. Yeah. And, you know,
well, I mean, no, but I can't imagine that. Franken, he didn't make any sort of overtures to that community?
I'm sure he had to, but, you know, when they're telling you, you know, this is where it says you vote for senator. Check. Okay, let's put that in the box now.
Well, yeah, but they're doing a recount now, right?
It's automatic because it's less than, one-tenth of 1%. Yeah.
Well, I guess what's-his-face is still, McConnell is still there for another 6 years. Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, but he's part of the sit-down-and-shut-up brigade now, and that's a lovely thing.
Well, how many seats do they end up getting? 5?
I do believe so. Yeah, they're not at their 60. And we still don't have an answer on Jim Martin and Al Franken. If I understood correctly, 60 is still within reach, but highly, highly, highly unlikely. So
well, didn't the guy in Oregon win, the Democrat who was running?
Did he? I've been so addled today. Oregon.
Well, I mean, there's 5 new seats, so that would be Dole, Sununu. I don't, and there's 3 other ones, so I was just thinking because that Oregon one looked really tight when I was looking at it last night.
Yeah, it might have to be. Yeah.
Well, I'm not too sure if it was him or not. I was just trying to figure out because 5, that's a pretty big turnover for a Senate, isn't it?
It is. The problem is, they're just going to have to work through it. The Republicans will do their dead level best to make sure that every piece of liberal legislation, everything that America needs, they'll do their dead level best to make sure that it all dies in the Senate.
Well, no, but the thing is, that's why we need to replace that leadership. Because a new leadership would make those Republicans, if they want to, say, destroy some health care reform, make them stand up and filibuster like you're supposed to. None of this sort of, we're going to filibuster, and then you roll over. And that's what was going on before, which is unbelievable.
Exactly, exactly. And
if they have some decent sort of, leadership, the Republicans can't just get. I was forever just enraged at that because I didn't understand why the Democrats would just let them just say we're filibustering and never have them do anything.
Let's see. News Ninja Gene, who lives out in Oregon, Sandra, just sent me this link saying that Gordon Smith still holds a narrow lead over Jeff Merkley this afternoon. The margin is about 2,400 votes.
Well, according to this thing I'm looking at, it's 47.4% for this Merkley person and 47.2% for Smith. That's the New York Times. It's not like it's a local.
Yeah, this is from KGW and the Associated Press out there. So.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. So is that going to be a recount too?
That's not clear yet.
I don't know the rules in Oregon, so you know what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just was surprised because that guy was trying to run it. Trying to associate himself with Obama in the ads. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's like, did you see that one sample ballot that got sent out in Mississippi where the Republican put his name in bold along with Barack Obama? In other words, tried to make people think that he was the Democrat running.
Yeah, he was. So if you were just going straight party, his name somehow would be checked, right?
Or that, you just go in there and, him and him, because it was a dummied up sample ballot, and everybody else that was a Republican was in small font and small and plain typeface, but he was the only Republican that was in large font and large typeface, just like all the other Democrats were. So, it's pure fraud.
Yeah, well, I guess that this 8 out here, that piece of shit one.
Yeah, that's sickening. Philip and I were just...
Yeah, what I wanted to tell you, though, was, you know, unfortunately, 70% of black voters in California supported that, which I was, you know, truly disturbed to read.
Yeah, and it well, but it came out of the churches.
Yeah,
and that's what had Mark Levin about halfway to standing on his head this afternoon.
Yeah, oh no, I didn't get a chance to hear his show. That's right. Oh God, I bet he was fit to be tied over that, huh?
Yeah, a lot. And you know, there's no that we're sitting and reveling in the little historic moment that happened, the huge historic moment that happened last night. But by the same token. Fundamentalism has a grip inside, I mean, just an absolute death grip inside a lot of African-American churches, and we'd better, by God, acknowledge that.
Well, not only that, but it has a grip in this country in general. You know, when I do, you know, little sort of read sort of polls, I'm just always stupefied by the number of fundies, you know, and where they are. They're just sort of, you know, forgive me, but they're like cockroaches. They are,
and I don't feel bad at all. I've described them the same way.
I mean, I think that's just because I'm just like, you people are mindless. You know, they have a central authority that they follow, and it's not Jesus whispering in their ear. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's a preacher, and it's a bunch of end times millennialism and financial hucksterism. Look, anytime you see these poll results, Sandra, you know this. I don't have to tell you this. You can always find 20% in whatever the wrong-headed way to think about something is. There's always 20%, and that's the American fundamentalism industry.
Well, and also, though, what's disturbing is because you had such a large turnout of blacks and Latinos voting for Obama, they also voted for that ape. So you had, instead of the usual sort of Christian right voting for a bad proposition and, say, a Republican, it was, you know, minority voters voting for Obama, and oh yes, by the way, you know, let's do this ape. So you know, you have that dynamic going on.
Yeah, they were literally jumping around the ballot.
Yeah, well, no, they were like Obama supporters who are anti-gay. That's what I'm saying about that dynamic. So it was no different than what the Republicans did, except kind of in reverse. Not that Obama, he came out against it.
Well, and
tepidly, but he still came out. I mean,
he also campaigned on that side of the street, Sandra. Remember that whole Donnie McClurkin thing in South Carolina?
Well, not only that, but he also had early on some really sort of hardcore homophobes in the black church kind of.
Well, yeah, that's what the Donnie McClurkin thing was.
Okay, yeah.
You know, a noted gospel singer who believed that, you know, gay is a disease and that it can be cured. And
no, but that's the same one that, yeah, that's an ex-gay, that guy. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to be gay, which, you know what that means.
That means he's still gay.
You know, come on now. Yeah, it's frightening. That kind of stuff scares me. The un-gays. Because, yeah, they work. They're like Ward Conley, but for the gays. You see what I mean? What?
God, I love that.
Well, you know, shit. I'm just sort of
you caught me in the middle of a little whistle wedding here, and I damn near spit took the monitor.
Oh God. Well, you know, there's always, you know, when you start getting into these identity politics, and you know, you just start thinking, well, common sense tells me that if you're brown, you know, you're not going to be running somewhere to punish a new boogeyman. You know what I'm saying?
Or that you ought not be. And you know, Wanda Sykes, Wanda Sykes did that on Ellen DeGeneres's, I think it was Halloween show, and they were both in costume and stuff. It was real cute. And she came on there and said, you know, I never had to go home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm black. And because you know, the argument was being made that, well, you know, being gay, that's nothing compared to what we went through.
Well, no, but
and she peeled misery, that like a grape.
Comparing misery, but you know, like you said, there's a death grip of that fundamentalism, you know, in the black church, you know, and amongst the Latinos, they also voted, you know, heavily in favor of AIDS, but. what kills me most about it is just the serious, complete lack of critical thinking that seems to just, I don't know. It is quite disturbing. And but
What I think what you're describing, in the fancy word for it, is cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose that's it.
Because on the one hand, you're doing the right thing, and then you're turning around and doing exactly the wrong one.
Well, and just sort of to, I just think it just sets a really odd precedent because, okay, so now they're going to amend the Constitution to forbid cohabitation between men and women. You see what I'm saying? What's next?
Exactly, because...
I mean, truly, I think people need to realize that their agenda is not just about the faggots, all right?
And that's the point, and that's the thing that I couldn't get through, or not, I couldn't, I think we did. I don't think we've got any problems with this audience. Everybody here gets the idea, but when you can start messing with who will have which rights,
mm-hmm.
whether you're doing it under the guise of protecting traditional marriage or anything else, then you have openly gone to that place where you want to let religion define what the Constitution says. And that's what just happened in California.
Well, and as a sidebar, I need for you to tell me, can I declare myself a church and get tax exemption up in here? Because what the hell? How are these churches behaving?
Why not?
I knew that. I mean, I don't know anything about law, but I'm just sort of like, wait a minute. These people are enjoying privileges.
Well, see, but the funny thing is, it's not their status as a church that imparts, and that's a very, very good question. It's not their status that as a church that imparts the tax exemption. It's their status as a 501c3 under the IRS code.
Which means they're not supposed to...
politic from the pulpit?
Right, that's what I thought.
Endorse candidates?
But they can pay wholly pay for state initiatives in states outside of their own jurisdiction. I'm just sort of appalled that they're saying, oh, we sponsored this. The Mormons gave $9.8 million. I'm like, excuse me, shouldn't that be taxed?
But this is like the biggest mafia tax dodge in all history.
No, it definitely smacks of something gangster. You're right about that.
Because what they do is they launder it's money laundering, Sandra. Straight up money laundering. Because by using the tax code, they start out as a 501c3, and they're kind of forbidden. There's a lot of thou shalt nots in, but because 501c3 is specifically the designation for organizations whose essential work, the reason they're tax exempt, is that their essential work is humanitarian and charitable. It's a 501c3 charitable organization. You're a charity. So then they set up these dummy corporations below it under things like 501c4, which is an advocacy organization, and they filter all the money to it.
Yeah, no.
And they let the 501c4 do all the dirty work.
No, but it's just, I just find it appalling that what's really disturbing me is that these, moral entities are interfering in what's considered a right and what's not. You know what I mean? What happened to just the laws?
I know.
I mean, it's so disturbing to me. I really don't know if they're going to try to. I know they already filed some lawsuits against it, but.
Yeah, Philip said that the ACLU is already out there, and I think an official in San Francisco has already filed against it. And if you go back, I think it was Monday's Crooks and Liars. There is there's an expose there of how far back the conspiracy to do all of this goes inside the Mormon Church. There are memos that go back to 1997, Sandra. This is all planned and laid out. This is all a big old set piece. And they've laid out every piece of strategy, and the opposition to it has played merrily along.
Yeah, well, the Mormons are already, marriage challenge. I mean, it's just something really bizarro about them taking such an active interest in it with their, you know, inclination to be marrying up 7, 8, 9, you know, 10-year-olds if they could. I mean, come on.
I know.
It's so disgusting, and it's really sort of.
But if you go and find this thing, Sandra, it's like reading something from the Nixon administration. It's so greasy and nasty, where they say that, you know, they say that they have this 11 years ago, we have already set up a meeting with Bishop so-and-so of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of yada yada in California. And so what they do is they use the Mormon Church's money and the Roman Catholic Church's public face to in turn. Because like Bishop Pearson once said, they're in the business of selling tickets into heaven and out of hell, and they use that to leverage the hate of their followers. It's sickening.
Man, that's deep, man. But it's just, you know, but the irony is just overflowing. You know, I'm like, the Catholic Church, hello, what the hell?
Well, but
you know, if you're self-hating. Take it out on something else. Don't take
if you're self-hating, take it out on yourself.
You know, I'm just sort of like, anyway, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm so disturbed by it. I don't even know, you know, what I'm really trying to say, but it's bittersweet. How about that?
Yeah, well, and that's that. You know, that's what we're left with. At the end of the day, we recognize that we had a tremendous monumental victory last night. And we are also we're also reminded of the profound level of hard work that yet remains.
Oh, I know. Well, no, but you know what is this? What is the afterglow? You know, really lasted about 5 minutes. Because then that fool, let me not say that, Mr. Obama picked that Rahm Emanuel or whatever name it is for his chief of staff.
And I'm just sort of la-la. I got my fingers in my ear over that, and I'm hoping there's a damn good reason for it. I'm letting that be tempered by that story that was sent to me earlier during the show, Sandra, that says that Bobby Kennedy Jr. may wind up the head of the EPA.
Oh, hell yes. Now, you see, then that's what I need to hear.
Oh, yeah, on that like a duck on a June bug.
Can you imagine? Bobby Kennedy is a maniac. Good Lord, the industry must be reeling at the thought of it.
The coal thugs in West Virginia, if they've gotten wind of this, they've all taken to their beds with a sick headache.
Oh, no, listen, and he, no, oh, my God, with his sort of, you know, the whole pedigree, listen. That's a good one. Are you kidding?
No, it's being reported at Huffington Post he's on the short list to head the EPA, and I'm just sitting here with my little fingers crossed, going, "Oh Lord, let it happen." I'm getting all Bishop Muthy on it. Make a way, Lord. Make a way.
Make a way. Listen. Oh, you know what? Now that's some good damn news.
I got to give you a little something here and there, Sandra. Otherwise,
yeah, no, that's great because you know what? And Kennedy is, because I've heard him speak, you know, sort of out of turn. He don't got nothing nice to say about corporations. That's why I like him. But he still has that Kennedy name, so he can just slip in there. Do you know what hell that man gonna wreck on them?
Oh, it's just fun thinking about it. It is.
It is. It's beautiful. You know what would be more beautiful, which I know wouldn't happen, is if that Papa Tone could get in there, because that man, he's a buck wild, that Mike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's straight up crazy. I can't imagine he would get in the Obama administration, but if Bobby gets in there, that would be a start.
It'd be a beautiful start, because, you know, I went, summer before this passed, that Bobby came down to a little church called Rebecca Chapel down in the Coal River Valley here, Sandra. And we, you know, we had this big meeting in the church and talked to him, and he just delivered some remarks. And he said, I believe in treating corporate criminals like criminals. You know, they're not corporate criminals anymore. They're criminals. And doing what you do, and he was speaking directly to us about the issues that are of concern in southern West Virginia. He said, what is going on down here is a criminal act.
Well, you know about Bush and how he's, you know, I think he wants them to just go ahead and level whatever mountains you got left up in there before he leaves office? Because he's trying to change rules like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, the stream buffer zone rule, that's a thing that's going
on.
But he can,
now.
What he's trying to do is he's trying to short-circuit anything that Obama might do. Because, you know, that last-ditch effort that the Republicans made and the McCain camp made was to say that Barack Obama's going to put the coal companies out of business. And, of course, I wouldn't. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because, I got nothing for somebody that works on a mountaintop removal job. I wouldn't pee on them if they were on fire.
Yeah, no. It ain't nothing but sickening about that whole process. And there is no upside to it, really. It's quite stunning that it continues. And they want to make it unabated with just poisoning. It's just straight up poisoning.
Yeah, just straight up eliminate the stream buffer zone rule and thereby moot all the litigation that's going on out there, because there's a bunch of it that's still pending and on appeal and getting tried, and that would render that absolutely meaningless if they get away with it.
Yeah, no, they're
and then nothing's safe.
Yeah, they're trying to release a whole slew of deregulation upon us.
It's not just coal. There's a permit applied for from some outfit up on up in the Great Lakes region. They just want a pass to dump as much mercury as they see fit
in the lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they want to poison the water. They want to loosen up, the air. They want to make the air quality, circa 72. I mean, I really don't know, but it's really sort of mind-boggling to see the Bush administration. I'm scared about how they're going to go out. I don't think it's going to be very nice.
We'll see what they've figured out, Sanders. Hey, look, the people are still intelligent enough to reject John McCain and more. You know, 4 more years of this same garbage we've been getting away with for 8. So we need to get more mercury into the water to get more mercury into the people, so they'll be a little bit more stupid next time.
Well, no, because I had to, somebody was thank you, Jesus, in today. I had to step back and say, listen, we still got 77 more days of Bush.
Yeah, and that's why I said earlier, that's plenty of time to blow up the world.
Oh, God, so... And I was laughing at him. You see him come out and try to frame it as something historical, and then he just turned around and he didn't know what to say. He's a joke, that guy. Horrible.
It is. Well, like I said earlier, I get to leave some language behind. I'm never going to have to talk about in 75 days. I'm never going to have to talk about that pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout again.
Oh no, his name. You know what? That's a good point. His name will never pass my lips again. After he's gone?
And the sooner I'm done saying Sarah Palin, the happier I'll be.
Oh, yeah, listen, that's, you know what? I was looking at her when she was trying to sniffle. You saw all that?
Yeah. Heart-touching break.
How come she didn't speak?
Because they told her to sit down and shut the hell up.
They don't let the running mate say anything.
No, she asked to, Sandra.
I thought they did. I thought it was a concession for the...
But she asked to be given time to speak to her followers, and the McCain campaign said, oh, hell no.
Oh, where was that reported?
Newsweek, maybe?
No, I believe it, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, go put on one of your $10,000 dresses and sit there quietly.
Oh, no, I'm sure, yeah, I heard that he didn't like home chick anyway, so, oh,
no,
my God.
No, I don't think they'll ever speak again. But then I go over to BuzzFlash and I see that they're querying there. Could the demise of Ted Stevens give us Senator Palin? Now there's one for cold flop sweats in the middle of the night.
She's been unleashed. I feel like she's been unleashed on us, and now we're not gonna be able to shake her and her. Frightening-looking husband.
Terrifying. Todd! Yeah, riding around on his snow machine.
Oh, God. But anyway, what about, any word on who might be the Attorney General? Any thoughts about that?
I haven't heard a peep. I mean, I would have been happy with Bobby Kennedy there.
Yeah, that's me, too. I thought that's what you were going to say. But then when you said EPA, I said, oh, no, that's even
that's
more,
where he belongs, yeah.
Yeah, that's even more interesting. But, no, I think Attorney General is very important. So
I would imagine that whoever was the, and I don't have the name at hand, but whoever was the campaign's legal advisor, that'll be your next Attorney General.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, I hope he gets rid of Gates. I've been hearing rumors. I don't want that there. He needs to go away.
Oh, Secretary of Defense? No, he needs to go away.
No, that has to go. That's a huge portfolio, and he needs to have his own person in there. I can't even imagine that he would consider keeping that guy.
I can't either, but I guess he's going to have to offer some sort of a bone somewhere along the way. There's been why? I don't know.
Because the question of foreign policy, I think it's really important for him to get his own people in place.
Well, and like Secretary, where Secretary of State's concerned, I've seen both John Kerry and Hagel, the Republican from Nebraska, mentioned as Secretary of State.
Well, Hagel, whatever, would be palatable as opposed to Gates, if that was what they were with.
But Gates is at defense.
Yeah, but are you thinking about Hagel at defense or at state?
No, Secretary of State. So, but if Hagel was to come in as Secretary of State, that would make it possible to at least get shed of Robert Gates, because you know he's the same old, same old.
Oh no, you know he can go back to Texas or wherever the hell he was teaching, and he needs to go away because. No, I just don't. I don't even hear that talk anymore. But Hagel, is he a realist or what is he?
You know, Vietnam veteran. Yeah, come on, he's another Senate hawk.
Right. So he's another, but he's not.
Yeah, we can slaughter our way to peace. I mean, he's been very, very critical of the Iraq War.
Right, but that's not enough cover to sort of, you know. I just wonder what, because he's a Republican. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And Obama, he thinks he has to put in some of these knuckle draggers.
Yeah, he's reaching across the aisle and bipartisan, and we're not going to be red and blue anymore, and yeah, all of that.
Well, no, you know, Obama, just because you're half and half, don't mean that nobody else want to be.
I know. And let's see, tomorrow, which is today by now over there, is a national day of celebration in Kenya.
Well, no, all that is so interesting. Just to see those pictures that they showed last night, you know, and they're also in Indonesia too, right?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I can't blame the world for celebrating. Because that's the thing for me I got to retain some sense of perspective. And that is, you don't compare, it's not as much, really, a comparison between Obama and John McCain as it is the stark comparison between Obama and George Bush.
Well, yeah. No,
that's the standard of measurement.
No, I think that's what the worldwide thing is, because I don't think anyone is expecting the foreign policy of America to go upside down.
You know, the entire civilized world came out and declared hallelujah and congratulated the United States. And congratulated Barack Obama. There was one member of the so-called Western nations who did not, and that was Russia.
Well, yeah, but Russia said congratulations, and we're now, trying to sabotage that missile thing in Poland. Is that the latest?
Yeah, they said hello. We're because I noted the name of the missile. We are deploying Iskander missiles aimed at Poland.
Right. So I'm like, oof.
And they didn't say a word about whether they would be nuclear tipped.
Huh?
Yeah, they didn't say if they'd be nukes. They just said, you know, we're deploying the missiles.
Wow. Well, that's a bit sobering.
That's a lot sobering. And, you know, it's damned well that we remember that there's work ahead.
Yeah, and also, you know, the falling oil prices isn't too good for Russia either, since that's what their whole economy is based on.
Yeah, but there's a sense of guarded hope in the world, and I just, oh, please God.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing, though, but I think that, you know, progressives, us, you know, we have to, you can't just stop. You know?
No, nobody gets a pass. I'm just that way.
you know, if there's more things that we can do now. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It has to be the time when people get most active.
Healthcare, Iraq. I mean, what comes first, healthcare or Iraq? I think Iraq has to come first, Sandra.
I think you're right.
We have to staunch the bleeding. We have to stop the we have to close up this great big hole in the ground that we've thrown the entire national well-being into. And you know, he said what? 16 months? Okay, I'll give him 16 months. It ends. It's over. We're leaving.
Well, I think that maybe some of the economic concerns is another push for drawing that down, because where's the money going to come from?
Well, exactly. But you know, that brings something else up though, Sandra. Yeah, when we look at the bailout that went through, are we all realists enough now to know how thoroughly we've been had?
Oh, you know, no, I can't.
We wanted national health care, universal health care. Oh, we can't afford that.
No, but now these people aren't even, they're doing the same thing in Europe. They're not lending. You know, they're like, oh, thank you very much. And the credit market is still tight, and the Dow fell like almost 500 points today.
Yeah, yeah, it took a real nosedive today. And
I'm sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
But apparently, these banks are hoarding, the tax dollars, for their own agenda. And it's just now we have,
Dennis Kucinich caught them paying themselves bonuses out of the bailout money.
Wasn't it like $70 billion or
yeah.
something crazy?
Yeah.
And where's the FBI or the, the people who?
Where's the guy? Where's the pitchforks and torches and the guy with the rope? I mean, we tolerated that. We put up with that. You know, he's had some hearings and he's doing some inquiry into it. But, we had $700 billion. Just boom, it was there. George Bush wanted to wage war on a country that hadn't waged war on us. Boom, we had $1 trillion for that. But we don't have $1 trillion for health care. I'm sick of it. Not going to tolerate it.
And we don't even have $30 billion for chip programs.
Nope, ain't got that either.
I mean, and we don't have any money to help the foreclosures that are hourly. We don't have any. We can't come up with a solution for that. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. If we, if we could figure out a way to make money for the defense industry, the war industry, if we could figure out a way for them to make money off of the foreclosure mess, then we would bail people out of their foreclosed houses.
Well, no, unfortunately, I think I don't know how much of a grace period Obama's going to get, but I don't think it can be that much.
He does. They talk about a honeymoon in the first 100 days and all of that stuff. But does he's inheriting such a and look, this is a deliberately created nightmare. And he's inheriting that on day one. Well, Agnes and I didn't get a honeymoon. And in our marriage, and guess what? Barack Obama, I don't think, gets one in his presidency. Not because the liberals are out there saying no honeymoon, or because the right wingers are saying no honeymoon. The damn job demands that there's no honeymoon.
No, for sure. But yeah, and the next in the couple of more months that we got in this in between period, it's a bit tricky. What do presidents usually do in between? I mean, I can't really remember. What are they supposed to do?
Well, it depends on who you are. If you're old, nasty old H.W. Bush, you start yourself a tasty little war in Somalia and hand it off to the new guy.
Oh, that's right. Right. Oh, okay.
They will literally pull the painting the hanging wires out of the wall. We had all those jokes about, oh, they stole all the W's off the keyboards, them Clinton people. And it turned out to be, complete BS.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I'm about to say I heard that.
But these people are going to sabotage him in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend. This stuff just now breaking now that the election's over. The FBI came to Obama early on in his campaign and said, look, your campaign's been hacked. And you have lost, your data is insensitive. And it was just a mysterious hacker. Don't know who did it. Huh, can't imagine.
That's a bit disturbing.
Well, who's the number one hacker in America? Isn't it over at the Defense Department? Office of Information Awareness or those people?
Oh, no. The same people that got Elliot Spitzer, I imagine.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least.
Well, listen, Bob, you know, I got to let you go.
All right, Sandra, it's been wonderful. It always is. Just, you know, smile a little bit and then have a little dose of reality and then smile a little bit more.
Oh, no, I will. And, you know, no, it's a great, happy day. God damn, I'm glad that it went down the way it did.
Amen.
All right.
All right. Bye. Our pal Sandra in California. And you guys have lit it all up. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Gary, what's up, man?
Not much. Quick call. I'll just say congrats to the people of West Virginia for voting for Obama. Those of you who did it.
We tried.
I factor in the fact that probably about 10% of that vote was probably rigged. So that means that he almost won West Virginia. That's how I see it. So there's some movement going on in West Virginia. Maybe the coal thing, when that thing leaked out by him about coal.
Oh, I think that had a real impact.
Yeah, maybe that made people realize, hey.
And you know, that wasn't a leak though. It had been on that San Francisco Chronicle website for a blessed year, but they just held that in their back pocket in case they felt like they needed West Virginia, and then you know, use it or lose it, go ahead and throw it out there, because they had to do it, because it was their only hope as far as southeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. And Kentucky and West Virginia and that last little rump corner of Virginia. They had to. But, you know, some of us tried to do the right thing. It was an IQ test, and we failed again.
Well, I think you guys did good.
The rest of the ticket, that's the funny thing.
The legacy of ignorance.
Yeah, and the rest of the ticket was surprisingly good. We got both of our Supreme Court justices that were critically important.
Yeah.
Our reasonably decent attorney general is still in office.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are good things. When things do turn around and start getting better, when he runs for re-election, I'll bet you he carries West Virginia.
Probably will. I have a strange feeling that we're going to go through some rough times, but I think really in 4 years, actually I think within the third year, I think we're going to start seeing things turn around. I mean, the market's going to crash. I mean, that's pretty much in the bag at this point. I think we all know that. So I think once that happens, then you'll start to really get a sense of where things need to go. That's when they'll really have to get serious.
But he's talking seriously about the green economy, Gary. And if he's real about it, then that can be the transformational experience that maybe saves the economy.
Oh yeah, if people really understood energy, I've been kind of reading about energy over the last year or two. Really kind of come understanding how energy is really the key for everything. I mean, you know, if you really study and understand it, you realize how a lot of nations are in poverty, and a lot of situations, if there was just a cheap form of some form of energy that could be, you know, micromanaged or doesn't have a corporate monopoly on it and could be, you know, used by the masses, it would really just spark so much innovation, and it's unreal. That's what's been holding a lot of countries back, just the energy. So, I think we are on the cusp of, with the new technology. I think we're going to have some kind of, even if it's somebody come up with a way to take solar cells and make those batteries hold just a lot more, you know, capacity, just like they're doing with computers, you know, with chips. If they figure that out, then that could change everything. Because then you just put the little battery out during the day, and it saves up enough to burn you for a couple of days. You know, just that alone. And then make that thing, that little battery, within a consumer.
Yeah, strong enough capacity in a battery to get you through a cloudy week.
Exactly. That's what needs to happen. So if that happens, then, you know, it will, you know, it'd be pretty good, man. But, you know, I just wanted to call in, you know, on this day after, you know.
And I appreciate it. I was kind of thinking we might have heard from you last night, but a lot of people were tied up last night.
Oh no, I was down on U Street in D.C. and it was like just crazy.
Did you get to see any of the craziness outside the White House?
did I get to see the craziness in the White House?
Yeah, outside of it. You know, 1,000 people are gathering around there chanting Barack's name. That had to be a beautiful thing.
I was in it, Bob. What are you talking about?
Oh, you were in it?
So, yeah, I managed to stay long. I didn't stay long, but I, you know, yeah, because a lot of people were down on U Street, and they walked, we walked from there down. Well, we ran and walked from there to down to the White House. So, but I could, like I said, I had left. I actually drove in, so I had to go back to my car. But, you know, it was kind of crazy. I didn't get, like, up close. You know, people were on the gates and stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
And people were like, and it's funny because in the bus shelters, like, people were dancing on top of bus shelters, and the cops were trying to tell them to get down. And, but they were kind of nice about it. They weren't like, you could tell they were just like very lenient.
Yeah.
But they were telling people to get down. But it was crazy, man. It was crazy. Yeah. Still kind of trying to recover from last night.
I know the feeling.
It was great, though. Great.
Well, right, it's good to hear from you.
Okay.
And, you know, we got to start identifying the work to be done. So I'll be looking forward to hearing from you and, you know, we got 75 days to get through here, too.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't safe yet.
It's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks, because I was listening to a little bit of Sean Hannity and a couple guys, but a little bit of sickness. I just want to hear from them. And I was listening to some of the radio guys tonight when I was coming home on this, you know, right wing.
Well, I didn't get a chance to check it out. Are they losing it?
Oh, yeah, man. They're like, you know, it's almost like they were talking about ratings. I mean, they really were talking almost like, you know, this is the end of us. Even though they were saying, well, you know, some of us are going to be like, okay, because, you know, when the other party's in, it helps people like Rush and stuff like that. But they were really concerned about the fairness doctrine.
Oh, they've been beating it. Yeah, they've been dragging that around like a bloody shirt for a couple of years now.
Yeah, well, they freaked out about Obama. They had this person, Michelle Bachmann, on. She came on, and, you know, she's crazy anyway. But I didn't know she was this crazy. She was basically calling Rob Emanuel, saying that he's like a mafioso, so he's committed crimes. I mean,
here we go. I give it 6 months before we have the Obama Chronicles out.
Yeah, so they're already on that kick, and she just, like, as a congressperson, especially with Sanders, like, she has to go. I mean, you know, you hear these Republicans, she's like a freaking Nazi. I mean, I don't see how she retained her seat. It's just sad.
It is sad, and she's certifiably insane, Gary.
No, I'm saying, if you listen to this interview, I was thinking when I saw her Chris Matthews interview that maybe she just was kind of like going too far. Maybe it's just, but when I heard this interview tonight, what she was giving, she was talking like, I'm not going out without a fight. You know, I bet she's almost predicting her own death as a politician. But she says, but I'm going to go out kicking and screaming. So I guess she kind of understands that her political life, because I think a lot of Republicans now are kind of distancing themselves from her.
Yeah.
And I think now she's starting to realize, and they're actually probably looking at trying to replace her. So she was really kind of like talking kind of almost like, I don't know, like a rat in a box, you know?
And that's exactly what she is. And crazier than a sprayed roach, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gary, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Ciao.
Bye. Wow, cool. We had somebody in the crowd there in front of Mr. Obama's house. That's neat. Okay, just kind of working through the. All right. Well, I thought all the lines were loaded up, but they weren't. So we've got about 17 minutes left in the program this evening, and just a couple of things to sort of throw out into the universe before we run along. Being reported over at Raw Story, while most of Chicago was celebrating Tuesday night, police and Secret Service agents believe one man may have been plotting to harm the man who had become president-elect. Police and the Secret Service are investigating whether a man arrested this afternoon in Rosemont with an assault rifle intended to harm Barack Obama. Dear God. Arrested during a routine traffic stop, according to the paper. Police found a laptop computer open to a page warning of possible riots if Obama won. He had a stun gun, the guy did, ammunition, handguns, and the assault rifle. What can you say? What can you say? It's going to be, this is going to be, well, I hope the Secret Service is up to the task, because, you know, that's the thing. They're the violent ones, the right wing, not us. Oh, no, we'll have cake and coffee with you and sing Kumbaya. But the other side, they're deadly. Since it's prayer meeting, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said Christians should pray for and return to a biblical model of holiness and righteousness. He says we're going to see, I think, unprecedented attacks against our faith through measures like the hate crimes legislation to the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We're going to see attacks on innocent human life through the Freedom of Choice Act, trying to erase all the gains that have been made in the pro-life movement. They ain't going away. They are not going away, and we had better damned well gird up for the fight. Another headline from the Fundy Wingnuts. Might Obama muzzle critics of Islam? They're still on it. They are still on it. And then a recent report says testing embryos in a petri dish before implanting them in the mother could prevent the formation of potentially unhealthy children in the womb. Headline, tossing out imperfect humans. Because we hate science. Lord God. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello again.
Hey, Dave.
You don't get off that easy. You know, I was kind of thinking all day today about all this stuff, and I just thought, I really hope everyone says, okay, now we've got the guy in, we got to make him do what we want him to do. You know, that's what you're basically saying, and that's absolutely key, I think. I mean, he's got a big message, he's got a big pile of support there, but you still got to keep going and say, okay, we voted you in, your bugger, now you got to deliver.
Yeah, we didn't bring, you were not elected. And you look, it's the same thing that we found ourselves having to say about the 2006 congressional elections. We did not elect you to be moderate or milquetoast or a sop. We elected you to do some serious work.
Or a sellout.
Yeah, or a sellout. Or to tell us what is and is not on the table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the result was the right one, I guess, last night. But
there's no doubt it was the right result. I mean, my God, I still get the chills at the thought of that thing, 172-year-old cancer survivor, heartbeat away from the presidency. I mean, woo.
Oh, truly frightening. And as for his sidekick there, as we said the other night, you know, his brains were dynamite. Anyway, you know, you got the right result. I mean, I was sitting here, and the thing about that I find about this, when was the last time a U.S. election led to dancing in the streets in Brazil and Japan?
I don't know if there was a last time, Dave.
Exactly. This was globally large, and I'm sure he's got to realize this. I mean, it must be a frightening place to be for him right now, I think.
I think you're right.
The global kind of, he's got to deliver. He's got to.
And, you know, look, there are people out there that want to, you know, that want to do bad things.
Of course there are.
And what Joe Biden said was true. There will probably be a challenge to him. And that's what I was saying earlier, talking about the first 100 days or a honeymoon or whatever. This is not that time.
Not this time, no.
You know, I don't think FDR got a honeymoon either.
No.
This is, hey, Dave, you know what I'd love to see? Now, this is just going to be crazy. I would love to see Barack Obama say, listen, everybody, we worked our butts off. You deserve to celebrate. But we're going to scale back this inaugural BS.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll do a couple of turns on the dance floor, and then we're going to go home. I'm going to take the jacket off. I'm going to untie the bow tie. I'm going to pop the French cufflinks off, and I'm going to roll my shirt sleeves up, and I'm going to go to work that night.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we got to have right now.
Yep. Yep, and there's so many issues that are so enormous. I mean, the world right now is at a point, and in so many ways, you know. I mean, I almost think that to have been elected president this year is a curse, because there's so much and so many enormous, enormous issues that each require more than one man's attention, you know?
Absolutely.
That's why I keep going back
to wondering if the Republican Party deliberately took a fall.
Yeah, it's funny, you know. One of the things I was thinking coming up was, you know, McCain should flaming win and let the buggers deal with the crap that they brought upon the world.
Yeah, you're not the first person who said that. I mean, there were long, very serious conversations had about this in the months leading up to the election.
But the frightening thing there would be, how would they deal with it?
Well, the terrifying part of that, Dave, is that they don't give a damn.
Exactly. So,
and they would let people die, and they would let Americans starve, and they would let the foreclosure crisis just put people out on the street living in cardboard boxes. It's nothing to them to do something like that.
Exactly. And where would that lead? You know?
Yeah.
Where would that lead?
Well, it would lead to the collapse of the United States.
It'd lead to more than the collapse of the United States. I mean, I think that would be, you know, I mean, can you imagine the consequence globally of that? The chaos? I mean,
I hesitate to be able to, but I know what you're talking about.
It's beyond bearable to even think about, you know. I mean, right now we've got old Putin's sidekick, what's his name, Medvedev, is it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Moving his missiles over again. I mean, what the hell is this? We've done the Cold War once, haven't we? And everyone who thinks about it realizes that it was a total madness. I mean, where I grew up was at the end of the longest runway in Europe, Burton Wood Airfield. I mean, if anything had gone off at that point, I'm vapor, you know.
Yeah,
and that's how I grew up, with Vulcan bombers flying off over my school and stuff like that. And you know, I mean, I remember, I was only a kid when the Cuban Missile Crisis was on. I was seven, but I still remember the fear in my parents' faces.
Yeah, the recognition.
We don't want to do that again.
No, it wasn't fun the first time.
No, and surely the lesson should be fresh enough for these buggers not to go there again. But not for old Shrubby, you know?
Well, you know, things like needling the Russians with this missile defense shield, which they are justifiably nervous about.
Exactly.
I mean, there are things.
Missiles in Turkey.
Yeah.
Led to missiles in Cuba. It's the same thing again. You know?
Exactly. And so, you know, there are things that are immediately fixable. You know, day one, congratulations, I've taken the oath, I'm the president now, Gitmo's closed.
Yeah.
I'm the president now, the stupid missile defense shield, pack it up, send it home, scrap it, sell it for parts.
Yeah, and take those lasers out of those stupid 747s, what's that?
Yeah.
You know? And let's not start developing silly things that are no good to anybody, that nobody benefits from other than the people making them and selling them.
Let's focus science where science ought to be focused, on making life better for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's learn the beautiful esoteric stuff and press the envelopes of research to find out not better ways of blowing the world up.
Exactly.
But better ways to keep babies from dying of preventable illness.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting about that?
One of the big problems the world has is overpopulation. So some people, when you say, oh, I'll keep more of them alive, go, what the hell are you talking about? But really what happens is when parents realize that there's a 98% chance that their children are going to survive to have their kids themselves, they don't have 10. They have 2 or 3.
Right.
And so doing the right thing even solves the population problem. You know?
Well, there you go.
I sometimes just want to stand in the middle of the street.
And scream.
But I don't want the jacket with the buckles up the back. You know? But that's how I feel sometimes when I look out there.
But that's not irrational or insane to feel that way.
No, I don't think it is.
Some of these things are more easily solved if one doesn't overthink them than if one does. As has been frequently pointed out on this program, you solve a whole hell of a lot of the health care mess in this country if you pass the Employee Free Choice Act. And that is one of those pieces of legislation that the right wing is absolutely having kittens with crocheted tails over right now.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you could have a card check agreement and that people in, say, a telemarketing office could decide that they wanted to be part of a union,
mm-hmm.
Checking off a box.
Yep.
And boom, you got a union.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people get health care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I grew up, my dad was in the cooperative movement in the UK, and he was a union guy. So I kind of grew up around the strength of unions. And I lived through the miners' strike when Margaret Thatcher really just went after the miners. And some of the dirty tricks were unbelievable. I know what it's like to live in a police state because Sheffield was. It was to the point where if the police saw 4 males in a car, they'd stop it and ask them, where are you going? And if they didn't like the answer, they'd break the windshield so they couldn't go anywhere. I know of this firsthand. These were the tactics that were used to prevent protests during the miners' strike.
By the way, we're running out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Happy November 5th.
Yeah. You know, they say, vote Guy Fawkes, the only man to enter the Houses of Parliament with honest intentions.
Well, Dave, I've got to roll along, but thanks for checking in. I really, really appreciate it.
Like I say, I just, you know, thinking about how you were doing and hoping you were thinking still and that you had a good night last night.
Oh, we had a wonderful night. And but, you know, now I'm sorry. I'm just such a painful realist. It's sober up and get busy time.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right.
You better do it.
All right.
Better get some sleep then.
All right. Take care, Dave.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
So that brings us to the close of tonight's program. And thank you to all of you for checking in. And thank you for listening now or later, for participating in the chat room, calling, emailing. Thank you very, very much. This is also that portion of the program right before the end where I tell you that November's looking every bit as rough as October was. We've hung on to see a good thing happen. And God, I want to keep on doing what we're doing here. But we cannot do it without you. If you are a regular contributor to The Horn, thank you very, very kindly. You will never know. Maybe you have a hint, but you'll never know how much we truly, truly appreciate it and your commitment to making sure that independent conversation continues. If you have never contributed to The Horn and you are able, and I understand how tough things are, I really do. But if you're able to help us keep this going, I can't tell you how important it would be that you do so. Thank you to Ben Birch, Peter Godbold, John Fox, all of whom none of this would work without.
Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. That hard work and that bravery is paying off, and we're going to win this fight. And by standing with them, you'll be part of the victory as well, because we are all downwind and we are all downstream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.